and WGNU Radio and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get to me. Where do we start? Where do we start, huh? Okay, we know that George Bush has allowed for his the theft of these George Bush is responsible for the theft of these the veterans' information. You at the top, you in charge, you get the credit, you get the responsibility. You the one that's in charge, okay? All these veterans, millions of veterans' information, most personal information. And, you know, if this had happened 30 years ago, we wouldn't be in the place that we're in right now. Couldn't have happened 30 years ago because it couldn't have. Been on a laptop. But if somehow paper documents with this many people's information on it had found its way, or microfiche, is that what they had 30 years ago, microfiche? It wouldn't have been as dangerous. There is no more of a dangerous time for our information to be out there and how it can be used in ways that weren't contemplated 30 years ago. But it is not 30 years ago. It's the year 2000. It's halfway through the year 2006. And the stuff has been stolen. And it's the responsibility of George Bush. So how does he respond to his responsibility? How does he do that? What does boy George do when times are tough? It involves quick thinking, It involves insightfulness. It involves an appreciation of where we are and what needs to be done. What does Boy George do? Well, he does. Think of what's the worst thing to be done, and then you'll have a sense of where you go in answering that question. Boy George cuts the VA benefits in order to deal with the theft of these millions of names and millions of bits of information that can ruin people's lives. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. 17.5 million veterans now are going to have fewer benefits because Boy George's plan is to cut their benefits to answer to this. But understand this, Halliburton hadn't missed a check. Huh. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to, you know what? Get to me. I'm not done. I'm not done by a long sight.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hello, St. Louis. My name is Oliver. You may or may not be familiar with my work. I like sports. I can be very opinionated. And I will be hosting my very own radio show. Join me every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m., The Oliver Show on WGNU 920 AM.
The sweet sounds of music
and glorious songs of inspiration broadcast
has been a Sunday morning tradition in St. Louis
for over 30 years. We bring you the best loved songs on the gospel scene.
Plus late-breaking church news.
Words of inspiration.
And, well, just a whole lot of fun.
Join me, Evangelist Stella Norris.
And me, Brother Mel St. Clair. Sunday mornings from 9:30 a.m. until 11 o'clock a.m.
Here on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU.
Praise the Lord, Radio Land. This is Bishop John Blue, inviting you to listen every Saturday afternoon at 1:30 for the Jesus Only Church of God of the Apostolic Faith broadcast. We are living in a time when God is moving in His mighty ways, and I am encouraging you to listen and believe so that you might receive the blessings of God has for you every Saturday afternoon at 1:30 right here on AM 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Oh, Lord, turn on your television. I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's rough, but we got to
welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Keep your head up. My name is Liz Brown, and this is the Wake Up Call, 1-877-920-WGNU. Can I get a witness out here? Can I get some help out here? Can I get some understanding out here? For real. Trying to get some understanding, trying to get some clarity out here. Help me. The United States Supreme Court has ruled in a 5-3 decision, the usual crazy looking three being the dissenting Alito, that just looks like Alito, Thomas, and Scalia. They, of course, said no, because they know, no. Five justices. And I understand that this is the most conservative Supreme Court in the history of the Supreme Court. This Supreme Court has broadly rejected Bush's statement that he has the authority to try detainees. And it seems to me that the mantra from the United States Congress, from the left side of the aisle, should be, I told you everything this man does is wrong. He's lawless, he's lawless, he's lawless, he's lawless. The Supreme Court has said it, we have said it, the people have said it. He is lawless, so is this administration. We said it from the beginning, it was lawless, 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 lawless. I mean, you're trying to win November elections, right? You're trying to craft out the issue, right? You're trying to repeat the messages, right? Imagine what the Republicans would have done with the Supreme Court decision that said that Clinton was wrong on the law. Look what they did with the blue dress. So my question to you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, boys and girls, help me. Help me. Why is it then that all that largely what we're hearing from the Congress is, well, we're just going to craft another law to try him? How about no? How about no? Why does America need tribunals? We have laws. And instead of howling, instead of hollering, instead of being in lockstep against this, that's a technical legal term, against. Instead of being against this, they're rushing to come up with a plan to allow him to do the lawless things, do that thing that he do, which is lawlessness. This administration is about lawlessness. It's not a difficult word. It's not even, George Bush could even spell that word eventually. Okay, maybe not. But the fact of the matter is, this administration is about lawlessness. Whether it is spying on you, whether it is surveilling you, whether it is listening to your phone calls, whether it is prying into your bank accounts, whether it is holding people for just cause. Did you hear what Boy George said? We're going to do everything we can to keep these murderers in jail. What are you talking about? Who's been tried for murder? How many people are in there because you said they murdered somebody, but now all of a sudden they're all murders? What are you talking about? We have 17-year-old people, no, 17, 18, 19-year-old people hanging themselves. We have people starving themselves. Murderers, where's the proof? Where's the evidence? Guantanamo Bay is a lawless place created by a lawless man and endorsed by a lawless administration. And where are the Democrats on this? We're going to come up with another law, another way to try these detainees. No, it's all lawless. Guantanamo Bay should be shut down. Everybody in the world is saying it except for... the attention deficit D student, former cheerleader. Except for him. Oh, yeah, and the guy that shoots his friends in the face and the heart. That guy, too. What are we hearing from the Democrats? They're saying, let's create a new court. It is said in the front page of the New York Times, the decision was such a sweeping and categorical defeat for the administration that it left human rights lawyers who have pressed this and other cases on behalf of Guantanamo detainees almost speechless with surprise and delight, using words like fantastic, amazing, remarkable. Michael Radner, the president of the Center for Constitutional Rights, a public interest law firm in New York that represents hundreds of detainees, says it doesn't get any better. The ruling marked the most significant setback yet for the administration's broad expansions of presidential powers. You think? And what's fascinating is that the courtroom was not, was surprisingly not full. Why wasn't the press there? The cry from from Democrats should be shut Guantanamo down. It's a lawless place, governed by a lawless administration. It is wrong. We are better than this. We are better than this. Suicides. Intentional drug overdoses. Riots against guards. Shut it down. Shut it down. This is a defining moment. This is a huge deal. Justice Stevens said, and he spoke for the majority, the military commission at issue lacks the power to proceed because its structural and procedural violate both the Uniform Code of Military Justice and Geneva Conventions. Shut it down and hold those accountable for erecting it. This is unprecedented. It doesn't get any clearer in terms of the Guantanamo Bay piece is the linchpin, is the foundation, is the mirror by which this administration can be judged. This is who they are. They create lawless institutions. Where the Democrats at? Where the Democrats at? I'm just asking, because it's in my nature to do so. Where are the Democrats at? We have much to talk about. We have much, much, much to talk about. Where the Democrats at? I'm just asking. Stay with me. I'll be back. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else?
Where else, where else, where else are you going to get washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves? Where else, where else, where else are you going to be able to take care of your outside, the outside of your house, the same way that you take care of the inside of your house? Sears, of course, right here in the city of St. Louis, the only Sears in the city of St. Louis. Get on down to Union and Natural Bridge, whether you need a tractor, whether you need a lawnmower, whether you need some really, 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 really cool barbecue pits. Oh, come on. Get on over to our barbecue grill. Get on over to Sears. My name is Liz Brown. When you get down there, tell Jerome Williams I told you to.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Regions Bank. Lenore K. Sullivan Boulevard is closed both directions from Washington Avenue all the way to Poplar Street. Bridge Four Fair, St. Louis Memorial Drive is also closed to Market, Walnut, Chestnut, and Pine. The Eads Bridge is closing at 9 a.m. this morning to become the Eads Bridge as part of the Fair St. Louis celebration. North Memorial Drive is closed coming off of I-55 between Washington and Poplar throughout the holiday weekend for Fair St. Louis. Use the Park Avenue exit if you're trying to get around that area. The on-ramp to westbound 70 is also closed from northbound Memorial Drive. Northbound 270 at 44, look for everything to be moving steadily. Westbound 270 at Illinois 3 in the Canal Bridge, no problems to report there. Eastbound 44 from Bulls 270 looks good. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, expect right center lane to be closed for paving operations, and you can expect no delays at this hour rolling into downtown. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Regions Bank. Is your money not working hard enough for you? Get a better rate on your money market account from Regions Bank with our relationship money market. Come in any branch or call 1-800-REGIONS to find out how your money can work harder. Regions Bank, member FDIC. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Partly cloudy day, chance of showers in the morning, otherwise a high around the mid-90s. This evening, mostly clear, low in the lower 70s. Saturday and Sunday, pretty much the same mirror image both days. Hot, mostly sunny, with a high in the mid to upper 90s both days. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 70 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 70 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. I learned at an early age that animals matter to me. Every week, we'll share your stories. We'll discuss issues that matter most to you and your companion animals, from breed-specific laws to puppy mills, and answer your questions about pet care as well. You'll also enjoy our special guests as they share their tales. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun every week. Join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DRLAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Real life on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
A dedication to all the refugees worldwide. One time. Say, 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 I remember when we used to sit in a government yard in Brooklyn. About something, the crookedness. I did mingle with the good people we meet. Good friends we had, oh, good friends we've lost. to my peeps who passed away. No woman, no crime.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Understand this decision that came down from the Supreme Court. It is a blistering decision. It is a huge rebuke to this administration. The Supreme Court is saying what all of us have been saying. Y'all are lawless. You all are lawless. Even the Wall Street Journal is saying Bush exceeded war powers. And even the Wall Street Journal said in a withering opinion handed down on the last day of its term, the Supreme Court declared unlawful Bush administration's military tribunals as an alternative legal system established to prosecute enemy prisoners without granting them traditional rights found in courts martials. This was the first thing that this administration did. This is one of the first things that this administration did. The 5-3 ruling specifically repudiated the tribunals at Guantanamo Bay, finding that by denying fundamental rights to defendants, they violated the Uniform Code of Military Justice and Geneva Conventions. And it didn't stop there. They also raised questions about the logic. Well, that's what happens when you get a cheerleader, an ex-cheerleader in charge. And a D student. The Supreme Court also raised questions about the logic behind the aggressive legal strategy, the logic that the administration has used to expand the executive authority on multiple fronts, including warrantless surveillance of targets within the United States, and the broad monitoring of international financial transactions. Who's the winner in this case? Who's the winner in this case? The former driver for Osama bin Laden. So y'all can't even get, let me just try to break this down for you so that it stays forever broke. This administration can't get Osama bin Laden, and they didn't find Saddam Hussein. They didn't locate him, somebody else, and they didn't find the guy that they just bombed, dropped 500-pound bombs on, Al-Zarqawi. And even when they have somebody in their custody, the driver of Osama bin Laden, they can't get him either. Even when they've got him, they can't get him. This administration is just astounding in its ineptitude. Breathtaking, stupefying. You can't even get the guy that you got. Come on, help me with somebody that is this incompetent. The driver, Salim Ahmed Hadman, was caught when the U.S. invaded Afghanistan. And this is what this trial was about. They said, you can't try him like this. No. In a word? No. In five words? No, 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 and no. This administration, I'm telling you, I'm telling you, lawless incompetence. How? Is there a worse combo? Lawless incompetence. The Supreme Court said no, 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 and no. And no. And this is I got to feel what this is. Got to feel what this is. Got to understand what this is. This is wow. This is wow. This administration is beyond. It is beyond belief. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Korean veteran, good morning.
Ms. Brown, you were talking about the Supreme Court, but during the night I listened. You know, you had mentioned something the other day about Tom DeLay in Texas. You remember that, don't you?
I did a show on a movie.
Right.
Wait a minute, let the audience know. A movie that they're making on Tom DeLay, The Big Buy. Yes, go ahead.
All right, well, during the nights I've been listening to several comments about that. Now, what he was supposed to have done was taken money from corporations and went, you know, started on the bottom floors, I believe that, like you said, and pay these people off there, and then, you know what I mean, in other words, he got the Republicans six extra seats by, you know, redistricting. Did he do that? What the Supreme Court went along, was that the state Supreme Court that went along with what Tom DeLay said?
No, that was the Supreme Court.
The Supreme, well, but the Republicans gained six more seats, didn't they?
Yes.
Well, I thought that was a bad thing right there. I mean, he should have. Why didn't they do anything to him? You said they're going to have a movie, The Big Buy, or whatever it is.
Okay, why didn't they? Who?
The same Supreme Court gave the Republicans, I think that helped them to be in power, you know, and by redistricting those six seats.
Yes, it did.
Well, all right, now what about then after they got in there? Then they, as far as African Americans are concerned, those are southern states that they used to have to come before the court every year. I mean, so many years, I mean, to see that we got our right to vote. They did away with that law now. They don't have to do that anymore, right?
No, they haven't done away with it. They just haven't made a decision on whether they're going to renew the act for another 25 years.
Okay, then. You asked my question. One thing I watched some on about Star Jones last night, and I thought about you.
Oh, look, I don't like Star Jones.
C-SPAN.
I don't like Star Jones. I don't like Star Jones. So I hope you didn't think about me.
Okay,
I hope
I'll
you didn't think
later.
About me. All right.
1-877-920-WGNU.
That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning.
Yes.
I wanted to talk about the decision that came down from the Supreme Court concerning Guantanamo Bay. It was a very good, it was the right thing to do, but it's a crying shame that it took those prisoners, those POWs have been tortured for 5 years. That's the harsh thing about that. And there was a Swiss senator by the name of Dick Martin. He has put out a detailed research about the torture that's going on at Guantanamo Bay. And there's a movie, a documentary called The Road to Guantanamo Bay the two that's in the documentary, they're innocent. And they were talking about how they were captured from other countries and sent to other countries to be tortured. And one man that's in the movie, he has been injected. He said, I don't know whether he said daily injected with some substance he doesn't know anything about. And the other man was cut with a scalpel all over his body and solely tortured. Now, this documentary, The Road to Guantanamo Bay, I don't know. Have you heard about that?
I have not.
It's just horrible, Liz. It's and to think that little kids, teenagers, young men have been tortured for almost 5 years without a trial.
That's right. Thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Listen, folks, taking a break. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
You're tuning in to Rasta Resolutions, the number one reggae program in America. King Silos, Rasta Resolutions, comes your way every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Also on the net, that's www.wgnu.net, Rasta Resolutions.
Hello out there, Radio Land. This is Pastor A.A. Boyd, a proud pastor of the Holy Olivet Baptist Church. I come on this radio station every Saturday, the Glory Time broadcast from 7 to 7:30. Will you turn me on? You'll certainly be glad you did. And God bless you.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Baghdad. The United States has received a proposal from 11 Sunni insurgent groups in Iraq. The factions have offered to halt all attacks on American troops right away if the U.S. agrees to have all of its forces out of the country within 2 years. The insurgent groups making the offer have not been the ones who have been conducting terror attacks on civilians, but rather have been concentrating their efforts on U.S.-led coalition forces. Meanwhile, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says the administration has no interest in dealing just to make somebody happy because their goal is to succeed. It's believed the 11 groups who have made the offer could represent about half of the insurgency movement in the country. It is known that Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki has set up an email account to communicate directly with insurgent groups. He's already made a call for amnesty for some of the fighters taking part in the ongoing violence. Some of the other demands from the insurgent groups contained in that proposal are compensation for Iraqis killed by coalition forces and reimbursement for property damage, lifting the ban on those officers from Saddam Hussein's regime in the military, and the release of detainees. In another development which could prove important, Russian President Vladimir Putin has now ordered his special forces units to track down and take out those responsible for the executions of the Russian embassy workers this past weekend. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Hello, this is Ella Allen Cohen, host of the Gospel Soul Train broadcast. Join me every Saturday evening at 6:30 as we lift up Jesus with the best gospel music in St. Louis. We also bring you the latest church news you need to know. So join me, Ella Allen Cohen, on the Gospel Soul Train Saturday evening at 6:30 here on WGNU.
From A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs.
Yes.
Seven Signs Masonry, 618-338-2871. Tuck pointing, all brickwork, whether it's your chimney, mailbox, flower beds, barbecue pits, all your masonry needs. The best hands in the business, Seven Signs, 618-338-2871. Don't forget, always check your decks.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Well, Ms. Brown, 5 years ago or 6 years ago, when George Bush first came in, Ms. Brown, we got a refund check. We was very happy about it, Ms. Brown. But as I look up Ms. Brown and drive every day, Ms. Brown, I look at these gas prices and I say, there go my refund check. Down the drain.
Well, there's an interesting story. In fact, it shows a picture of someone from St. Louis. Gas prices are putting the brakes on vacations. Of course they are. Of course they are. People can't afford to drive anywhere. Gas is $3 and something cents a gallon.
It's a shame.
It is a sin.
And, Ms. Brown, I really feel sorry for people that's making minimum wage.
Mm.
And that quartet burns up a lot of gas. How are they making it?
Mm.
Ms. Brown, you have a good holiday.
Okay.
God bless.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Okay, this is something that I normally don't talk about. But I'm going to have to do a little bit of gossip today. Somebody brought it up, and I've been thinking about it. So forgive me for those of you that are looking for your news. I'm going to do a little gossip right now. I won't talk about Star Jones and what happened to her. I won't talk about it. Because I don't like Rosie O'Donnell, and I don't like Star Jones. So let's be clear. Let's start right there. But here's the thing. I think it is indicative of, I think it's a reminder to people about how the media works. Star Jones got on The View, was it 9 years ago? Because of her role in the O.J. Simpson case. Not because she was a defense attorney, but because she was a black woman prosecutor that was chewing on O.J. And that made her attractive. Okay, so let's be clear how you got to the dance. Who brung you to the dance? You wrote on the back of O.J. Simpson, you're a black woman prosecutor chewing on him. Okay? Now, who does that make you? Who brought you to the dance? Did black people bring you to the dance? No. And you weren't threatening either. You were a heavyset woman, black woman, who chewed on O.J. Simpson. They were cool with you. They were straight with you. You were their girl because you talked about things that they wanted to have black people talk negatively about. Bet. Okay, you got up in there. You got along in the celebrity lane, cool. And you liked it. And you liked it a lot. Okay, dig it. Understand. Dig it. I understand that. But you should never forget where you are and how you got there. Because when you lost all that weight, and by the way, you don't look good. You don't look good. When you lost all the weight, when you got married, when you had this wedding thing out here, you need to understand you're not needed the way that you were needed 9 years ago. Katie Couric got a new gig. The chairs began to shuffle all over the media, on the decks of the U.S. media. Notice ain't no black people in any of those deck chairs that are being shuffled, okay? Katie Couric from Today's Show to the, to whatever, hosting being an anchor woman. Empty seat over at the Today Show. They go to the woman from The View who is hosting, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? That's cool for people, apparently. Okay, the host of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is now sitting in Katie Couric's seat. Meredith Meredith Vieira. She's now in Katie's seat. That leaves an empty seat at The View. Now, baby girl, star, you need to understand. You need to understand that when the seat got empty at The View, you should have been looking over your shoulder then. Who did your girl, Barbara Wawa, go get? Barbara Wawa went and got a person that is mean, a person that is seriously unattractive, seriously visually problematic to view, someone who has an alternative lifestyle, and you know, I've got no problem with that, but understand where they went to get somebody that is not like you. And this is a mean person. This chick is mean. And not only did they get somebody that had all of those things that are not you, but this woman, Rosie O'Donnell, was in the news chewing on you, saying, "Well," and this is a thing that is just amazing to me. Rosie O'Donnell is chewing on Star Jones, saying that Star Jones needs to come clean. No, needs to be honest about how she lost the weight. Dig it. Okay. I dig that. And Rosie O'Donnell is saying she needs to be honest. That's just dishonest. Well, Rosie, weren't you the chick on your show that said that you wanted to marry Tom Cruise? Didn't you lie about your orientation for the entire time that you were on your show? Didn't you hide it? So it's really a little hard to listen to you talk about people not being forthcoming when you're the queen of mean and the queen of not forthcoming. And understand, Star, that Barbara Walters would rather have her than you. But I will give Star her props. I will give Star her props because I read about the sending off, the going away of Meredith on the View. It was a roast. And it was kind of, I don't mind roasts, but if they're Don Rickles type roasts, I have a problem. I think Don Rickles is a mean-spirited, ugly little man. And this roast was very mean-spirited for Meredith, who they like. And you know what they did? They used the B word all through it. On morning television, I read it. I didn't see it, but I read about it, and that was shocking. So, Star Jones, I gotta give her props. Said, "Oh no, you ain't gonna get the kid like this, because if you were mean to Meredith like this when she left, I'm not gonna let y'all send me off, because God only knows how y'all gonna get over on me while I have to sit there and take it." So, Star Jones preempted them. And said, let the audience know the day before Barbara Wawa was going to let everybody know that Star was leaving. And she preempted them and said, this is my last season with them. And now Barbara Walters is saying, I feel betrayed. No, you feel got over. That's what you feel. That's what you feel. So let this be a lesson, y'all. Let this be a lesson. That wasn't your friend. They weren't your friends. And Barbara Walters said the reason that we went a different direction is because we did the ratings check and nobody liked Star anymore, and they didn't like what she was, the shilling she was doing for her wedding on the show. I know this, and I know it even though I have never seen it written down anywhere. If it wasn't all right for Star Jones to come on The View and push for her wedding like she did, she wouldn't have been on the show. She couldn't come on day after day after day and talk about that stuff if it wasn't approved. So I don't believe that. If they didn't want Star out there shilling for her wedding, then they would have said, Star, don't do this anymore or you can't come back, and it would have stopped right there. So that's got to be a lie. But lesson is, you know, sweetie, you should have looked at those who brung you to the dance and understood that this was no love thing. This was no love thing. It wasn't a commitment forever and ever and ever till death do us part, hardly. We'd rather have a mean-spirited, ugly person in your chair who cracks on you when you've been there for 9 years rather than you. Dig it. Barbara Wawa ain't your friend, and you won't be on any of her shows anymore. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. I'll be back with Looking Black. Stay with me.
More poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny.
poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Earlier this week, we had told you that most Americans were canceling their summer vacations because of the high gas prices. Well, they must have meant the trips they were planning to take after the 4th of July. The AAA says that nearly 40 million of us will hit the road over the long weekend, and if you're flying, here are two words of advice. Arrive early.
The Transportation Security Administration says it has hired more airport screeners to keep up with demand this holiday. The average wait is now about 15 to 20 minutes. But TSA admits there are rush hour bottlenecks, particularly in Los Angeles, Fort Lauderdale, and New York. So if you're catching a flight, get there early.
ABC's Mike Von Fremd at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. Just in time for the holiday, the weather is improving across the East Coast, but the trouble for the thousands affected by flooding is just beginning. Here's ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey.
The big system that caused all the rain is beginning to move on, but not before it left a last calling card. Heavy thunderstorms once again over New Jersey, adding to the already flooded rivers and homes in that state and next door in Pennsylvania.
Very depressing. Flood insurance doesn't cover the things in your cellar, so it's a loss.
6,000 people living along the banks of the Delaware have been evacuated. The many days of heavy rain are blamed for at least 16 deaths across the Mid-Atlantic region. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
The clock is still ticking at the Kennedy Space Center. Discovery is supposed to lift off tomorrow afternoon on NASA's first shuttle mission in about a year. The weather, however, may not cooperate. There is a good chance of clouds and maybe some rain tomorrow at Cape Canaveral.
I cannot believe it. I hope I see the president.
He's a tourist of Graceland, and he might not just see the president. He may see a prime minister, too. President Bush and his friend, Japanese Prime Minister Koizumi, are heading to Memphis to visit Graceland. The prime minister calls himself an Elvis maniac. This is ABC News.
To add some prestige to the pursuit of driving pleasure, the Michelin Man is attempting to establish a master's degree program in driver's ed. Visit MichelinMan.com to learn why the uncompromising performance of Michelin MX Series Touring Tires is the ultimate study aid for those seeking to graduate to a higher level of driving. To find a Michelin dealer near you, call 1-800-MICHELIN. Michelin, a better way forward.
When my baby left for college, I took some classes of my own.
That's right, turn and
dance classes. That's when I started needing a pain reliever for my sore legs. Then I upgraded my computer and had to get a headache medicine, too. For every new pain, I had a different pain reliever. But now I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, and nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed. Compared to OTC pain relievers.
Was she fired or did she quit? Star Jones Reynolds told to CNN's Larry King why she really left The View. ABC's Chuck Siebertson listened in.
My contract was not renewed.
Well, that's fired, right?
The statement is the truth. And I was told for the first time in April, and for 2 months, I came to work every day.
Well, what about O'Donnell?
I was very clearly told, Rosie's coming, wrap yourself around it.
What did she want Barbara Walters to say to her, Jones Reynolds, about that?
I'm sorry that someone was so hurtful to you.
But about Walters?
I have learned from that woman. She is my mentor.
Jones Reynolds says, did she use her celebrity for her own ends sometimes? Yes. Was it a mistake? She says, yes. Chuck Siebertson, ABC News.
If you want to apply for a student loan, you may want to get a move on it. You see, as of tomorrow, interest rates go up 2%. That may not seem like much, but once they're paid off, it could mean a savings of several thousand dollars. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brian Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, a Cahokia teen is dead after allegedly trying to carry out a robbery.
Police believe 16-year-old Monty Galladay and two others were trying to rob a home in the 4900 block of Genie Place in Allerton on Wednesday. Galladay, another suspect, and the victim struggled over a gun. Galladay was shot in the stomach during the struggle and later died at an area hospital. Charges are pending against the two other robbery suspects. A local Marine killed in action in Iraq will be laid to rest today. 22-year-old Corporal Riley Baker was killed last week in combat operations in Al Anbar province. A funeral mass will be held at 10 this morning at Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Eureka. Baker will be laid to rest with full military honors at Jefferson Barracks National Cemetery. The Missouri Department of Revenue will return to mailing vehicle registration notices in envelopes beginning today. The notices have been sent on postcards since January 2005. Officials say customers were concerned about their personal information not being concealed. This return to the former policy was made possible by a partnership with the printing company Imagitus Incorporated. It's expected to reduce costs for the Department of Revenue by nearly $530,000. Anheuser-Busch officials are urging people to drink responsibly this July 4th weekend. Carol Clark, a spokesperson for the beer giant, says it's important that people not drink and drive.
Whether you're celebrating with fireworks or barbecue, remember to choose a designated driver. The good news is that among adults who drink alcohol beverages on July 4th or any other time of the year, most do so responsibly.
The U.S. Department of Transportation reports that Independence Day drunk driving fatalities are down 41% since 1982. For more information, log on to www.beerresponsible.com. Finally this hour, a St. Louis celebrity is giving back to his community. Cedric the Entertainer joined St. Louis Mayor Francis Slay and scholarship recipients yesterday to announce his first ever celebrity bowling benefit, with proceeds going to Cedric's charitable foundation that helps provide scholarships to area students. The event will take place on July 27th at Lucky Strike Lanes in the St. Louis Mills Mall, with the after party taking place at the Formula in downtown St. Louis. For more information, go to www.cedibear.com. This WGNU News report is brought to you by New Advil PM. Aches and pains keeping you up? Big news, New Advil PM is here. The multi-pain relieving power of Advil plus a gentle sleep aid. New Advil PM, stop hurting and start sleeping. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Chaser Plus. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry in Washington, Elizabeth, everything's running smoothly. Eastbound 70 at 79, look for heavy volume going on there. Northbound 270 at 44, slight delays going on. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, right center lane is closed due to paving operations. Traffic is back up through 3rd Street. All your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect some delays this hour. And Lenore K. Sullivan Boulevard is closed in both directions from Washington Avenue through Poplar Street Bridge for the Fair St. Louis festivities. Memorial is also closed at Market, Walnut, Chestnut, and Pine. And the Eads Bridge will be closed for the Eads Bridge celebration coming up this weekend as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic and weather, or traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Chaser Plus. Do Chaser hangover pills really work? Yes, Chaser absorbs toxins to help you avoid hangovers. Take it while you drink so you can wake up feeling great. Buy Chaser products at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and save on drugs. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, partly cloudy, chance of showers this afternoon, with a high in the mid-90s. This evening, mostly clear, with a low in the lower 70s. Saturday and Sunday, both days, hot, mostly sunny both days, and a high in the mid to upper 90s both days. Currently, we have 71 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 72. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this go? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this go?
was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I remember saying that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop resisting.
The truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome to this week's edition of Looking Black, a review of issues that have impacted your life this week and where they may take us next from differing perspectives. Here's Liz Brown and our guest journalists for this week.
Welcome, 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 welcome to Looking Black. My name is Liz Brown. And our guest journalist this morning is Todd Burrows. He's a freelancer for Crisis Magazine. He's joining us from College Park, Maryland. Todd, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Good, good, good. Getting ready for the non-holiday weekend.
Non-holiday weekend. You know, Frederick Douglass was right.
What to the slaves,
Liz. There you go.
What to the slaves.
There you go.
My favorite line in that speech is that when he... says that the United States under slavery has committed crimes that would, quote, disgrace a nation of savages.
There
unquote.
You go. There you go.
There
but,
of course,
go.
As we, you know, make our hot dogs and all of that, we're going to pretend not to know that.
Well, yeah. And I want to start with, because it's always, I am a huge movie person. I love the movies. Let's talk about Superman. Superman Returns.
You mean Jesus Christ Superstar? I mean, yeah. Superman Returns?
Yes, 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 yes.
Well, you know, I went to see it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a variety of opinions on it. I was kind of interested because Superman, you know, has always been portrayed from the political and sociological view as kind of the view of America, how America views itself,
mm-hmm.
how America wishes itself to be viewed in the world. So I was kind of waiting for that, you know, truth, justice, and the American way, which is part of the mythology. Well, Bryan Singer decided not to go that route. He decided to make Superman a religious figure, literally a Christ figure.
Really?
And it was fascinating to me because, you know, Superman is the creation of two white teenage men back in the 1930s, Jewish men, and, you know, the whole superhero industry, you know, has always been dominated by Jewish men who've worked in a four-block radius in New York City and went and played poker with each other every week. So it's interesting to see all of the religious imagery that comes out.
Well, do you think that that's a sign of our times, Todd? That it made more sense to go Passion of the Christ as opposed to Black Hawk Down?
Well, you know, that's something that I read in, I believe, Salon, and I think they're going there. I think also we're talking about a post-September 11th,
mm-hmm.
post-9/11 Superman.
Mm.
And so here is a Superman that really does wish to save everybody. I mean, there is a scene where he literally hovers over the planet and listens to the entire planet.
Like God.
Right. Picking. The right moment, the right emergency to shoot down from the sky, from the heavens. The heavens open up, and he flies down. In fact, there's a scene with Lois, because, you know, Lois Lane, I mean, the plot is that Superman has been away for 5 years. It's a loose sequel to Superman 2. Bryan Singer's pretending that Superman 3 and 4...
Never happened,
which is not the worst idea, Liz.
Fair enough.
But you know, the idea is he's been away for 5 years and he comes back, and there's a point where he tells Lois, he says, you know, because Lois has not only moved on with her life with a husband and a baby, and we don't want to get into the baby because that's major spoilers, but let's just say that there's some religious imagery continuing. But anyway, you know what? She's won a Pulitzer Prize for the editorial, Why the World Doesn't Need a Superman. And so when he, you know, confronts her, or she confronts him after this five-year absence, you know, he takes her into the sky, and he shows her the Earth and says, Lois, I know you believe that, you know, the world doesn't need a Superman, the world doesn't need a savior, but I hear people calling for a savior every day.
Oh, for crying out loud.
I mean, literally, there is some Christ imagery and even some Christ storytelling that has been implemented in this film. And it's fascinating because it goes, I think, to the need for mythology, to the need for some sort of rescue from the modern world. So, you know, Bryan Singer, I he did a good job with the Christ imagery.
Isn't this the same sure. Bryan Singer that did the X-Files? I mean, X-Men?
Well, I wish he had done the last X-Men film.
Not the last one.
A better film. He did the first two.
The first two. Well, see, I like the last one. I didn't like the second one because of all this. If you look at the second X-Men, you had all of the same religious stuff. Remember, you had the guy with the religious stuff all over him, and Halle Berry making that comment about he asked her, "Why do you get mad? Why do you get angry?"
Sure.
So yeah, there's a continuity there. So maybe it's the director.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you know, Bryan Singer, I don't know his religion.
Let's take a break right here, Todd. We'll be back. I'm talking to Todd Burrows. This is Looking Black. We will be back. Stay with us.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Are you looking for satisfying employment? Whether you're just looking for work, or you're in what seems to be a bleak job situation, or want to find more meaning at work, you'll find insightful and transforming ideas and hear relevant real-life experiences on the next radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel.
The Christian Science Sentinel, Sundays at 1 p.m. here on AM 920 WGNU.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 920 AM, 5:30 Sunday nights. Sponsored by the St. Charles Lawanga Center.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets?
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives, with Liz Brown.
This is Looking Black, and before we get to our guests, I have a couple of bookkeeping issues that we need to tend to. On Sunday, July 2nd at 10 a.m. at the Muhammad Mosque, number 28, Minister Akbar Muhammad is going to, and he's the international representative of the Minister Louis Farrakhan and Nation of Islam, he is going to be talking about free land. for Africans here in America. Free lands in Africa. Free land for Africans in America in Africa. You need to be there. It's free admission. You need to be there. That's Sunday at 10 a.m. The doors open at 9:30. That's at the Muhammad Mosque, number 28, 1408 North Kings Highway. Minister Akbar, you've heard him many, many times on my show, and nobody knows Africa like Minister Akbar knows Africa. It's about how you get free land in Africa. Who's not going to be at that meeting? Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Muhammad Mosque. That's number 28, 1408 North Kings Highway. For more information, call 367-9667. And don't forget Saturday at 9 a.m. at 1020 North Taylor, the Urban Institute meets. Irene J. Smith and myself meet with you every Saturday morning. Our issues are political. Our issues are we have a think tank. Our issues are us. And we must attend our Urban Institute meeting. We will be working on our black card, our card for our candidates. And so be there Saturday. That's tomorrow at 9 a.m. at 1020 North Taylor. Taylor, be there, and hopefully we will have those free copies of the movie that we showed last week, Loose Change, to hand out to you. So be there tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. This is Looking Black. I am talking to Todd Burrows, freelance writer for freelancer for Crisis Magazine, joining us from College Park, Maryland. Todd, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz. By the way, I went to Zimbabwe a few years ago with Brother Akbar.
Isn't he wonderful?
And he does a very good trip, and he has a lot of knowledge.
You know, you just want to just sit there and just listen. I mean, he just knows so much.
He does. He's been back and forth to the continent many, many, many times.
Many times.
With Minister Farrakhan, as well as in his own collective in terms of travel collective.
He has a passport the size of a telephone book.
There you go.
There you go.
Now, Liz, you know what I forgot to tell you in the first segment.
What's that?
I only recently found out what Kal-El means. You know, Superman's birth name?
What does
you
that
know
mean?
What Kal-El means?
No.
Kal-El can be loosely translated as all that God is.
Huh?
Yeah. I just found that out reading a book on Superman.
Huh?
That the name Kal-El can be very loosely be translated as all that God is, with, of course, God being the El, you know, in Hebrew.
Yes.
That's the translation.
Huh? So is Superman supposed to be God?
Well, let's see. A father sends his son in a rocket ship to save mankind. Child is under mysterious circumstances. The child lands with some parents.
Has superpowers.
And right, has great powers.
Can turn water to wine.
And goes around and saves everybody. I mean, you know,
I don't get it, Todd. What are you saying? I don't get it. What are you saying?
I know. I'm sorry. I'm really being obtuse. Right?
Yes, yes, yes. Subtle. Too subtle.
And you know, I mean, you know, you call on him. You call help. You know, prayer, you know. And down he comes.
And down he comes from the heavens.
Comes from the heavens. Hovering, waiting to help you. Hovering. You know, and so, I mean, you know, resurrection's an interesting thing in this particular film. Like I said, I don't want to give away any spoilers, but, you know, one of the best resurrections in the film, of course, is Marlon Brando.
Yeah, yeah.
They bring back Marlon Brando.
That's right.
You know, I was a bit annoyed by the movie, I got to be honest, Liz, because, see, I've seen the first movie several times. So the idea that Bryan Singer got paid, I don't know, some astronomical amount of money to literally spend about two-thirds of Superman Returns remaking the first film. I mean, not only in terms of scenes, but even in terms of dialogue.
Really?
He spent a lot of time remaking the first film. Now, maybe this is a reinvention of the film for a new generation, you know, because as we remember, the first film came out in 1978. So perhaps this is his necessary reinvention. But I was a bit annoyed with that. Let us say the biblical elements were quite present.
What should we make of the fact? I mean, why should we be concerned about it? What should we make of the biblical connection with this movie?
Well, I'm not exactly sure, to be honest. I mean, my first reaction is to think about it. Well, you know. Jesus has been given to us as a white man. Superman is given to us as a white man. So here's this white man running around the world, saving everybody. I mean, that's my first instinct, you know, from the African-American perspective. And my first instinct would say, well, you know, this really gives us more and more impetus, I think, to use our own mythology and to create and to, or just to present, not even to create, to present our mythological characters. That's my first instinct. That's the African side of me. The American side of me says that our country is yearning for some sort of spiritual guidance. And I think this movie, and this movie is having an impact. I mean, the critics who like this movie, they haven't just liked this movie. They have loved this movie.
Now, how seriously, with all of the merging of medias into to bigger and bigger and bigger conglomerates, and that everything is owned by a couple of people, that things are so intertwined now.
Sure.
What are we to make of critics loving movies nowadays without having some connection with the studio?
Well, I think the conglomeration issue is a very serious issue. And I wouldn't ignore it, but I think that for Superman, there's
because
a
I've
whole
seen
different thing going on.
Because the trailers for me, and the trailers are always very important for me. It's my understanding that the first trailer for Superman, they had to pull because it did not engage anybody.
Right.
They had to remake the trailer. And so, to me, if the trailer, and it seems to always be true, that if the trailer's not any good, or the trailer doesn't engage me personally, I'm not going to like the movie. And the new trailer doesn't, I'm not engaged in any way. I'm not connected in any way to this movie.
Well,
and I'm curious to see what
neither was I in many parts of the movie. I was bored to tears in many parts of this film. But the larger point I want to make about Superman that I think fits into what you're asking about the conglomeration of the media, I think it even goes deeper. I teach my students at Howard University that Superman has been in a dominant position in the popular culture since its creation. Every single decade, you will find a Superman product that dominates that decade's popular culture, and Superman is also the test character or the test story for the development of any new medium. National radio in the 1940s, Superman radio show. The first superhero cartoon ever made was made by the Fleischer brothers when they did some Superman shorts in the 40s that by today's money they spent $5 million on a piece. By today's money. The television show, first major syndicated television show, and you remember it didn't leave the television until the late 70s. And so it's always a test. Superman is this test character. And what's resulted, I think, is a complete American mythology based on this one character with his symbol being a shield, okay, protection, and the idea that every generation, someone who is 8 years old, someone who is 60 years old, can tell you the story of Superman, his identity, where he works, who his friends are. So with the idea that mythology is only, you know, the discarded religion, you know, when religions are replaced, then the old religion is called mythology. I mean, we know about that. Superman has been created by immigrants, foreign immigrant country, even though we can't really,
we are
as Africans could serve as part of that. But Superman has become like a collective mythology, a collective religious experience. So what Singer's film does well is that it represents that collective religious experience that Americans have for Superman.
Well, I want to talk about Batman Begins, because that's my movie.
Well, the good trailer, you want to talk about the trailer, when you go see the movie, the trailer for Spider-Man 3 was really good.
Really good? Okay, we'll be back. We're talking to Todd Burrows. This is Looking Black, a Todd Burrows freelancer for Crisis Magazine, joining us from College Park, Maryland. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Ashley Furniture Home Store, July 4th sale. Northbound 270 at 44, expect slight delays. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for a very heavy volume. Westbound 270 at New Florissant and 170, heavy traffic in the right lane. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Paving operations have the right center lane closed and traffic is jammed between 13th and Tudor. Westbound 64 to 5570 has returned back to normal. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at 5570, look for slow traffic there. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays on those approaches. Westbound East Bridge drivers should expect some delays as they're rolling into downtown. And speaking of all the bridges, Lenore K is closed in both directions from Washington Avenue all the way through the Poplar Street Bridge. Memorial is also closed at Market, Walnut, Chestnut, and Pine. And the Eads Bridge will be closed at 9 a.m. this morning and transformed into the Eads Bridge for Fair St. Louis celebration. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Ashley Furniture Home Store, July 4th sale. This 4th of July weekend, Ashley Furniture Home Store has sofas on sale for $297. Save on select sofas, plus no interest and no payments until 2008. See store for details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday, partly cloudy this morning, chance of showers, the high should be in the mid-90s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 70s. Saturday and Sunday, mostly hot and sunny both days with highs in the mids to upper 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds rolling into the area. Our current temperature sits right at 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 74. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. Looking Black is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun as we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your companion animals. Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
From A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs.
A.
Alternative Nail Salon and Spa. The best pedicures and manicures in town. 12470 Old Halls Ferry Road. Call 355-2102. That's 355-2102. Alternative Nail Salon and Spa. You will love to come and hate to leave. Don't forget, always check your decks.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I had a
Looking Black, The Week in Review, The Week Ahead, In Differing Perspectives with Liz Brown.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Looking Black. My guest this hour is the guest journalist is Todd Burrows, freelancer for Crisis Magazine, joining us from College Park, Maryland. Todd, I want to talk about Batman Begins. Did you see Batman Begins?
Sure, we could talk about Batman Begins.
Because
you also want to talk about the Black Panther marrying Storm this summer in Marvel Comics after that?
Yes, I do.
All right, let's talk about Batman Begins first, though.
Yes, yes. I thought that was a fabulous film.
You know, it's kind of funny with that film. I didn't get that film when I first saw it because I think I had been so used to the whole, you know, 80s, 90s movies, that dun-dun-dun-dun, that kind of thing. And so when I watched it on DVD, I said, oh, this is a samurai film.
Ah.
And once I understood that this was about a samurai, I said, this is a great film.
If I loved it. I thought it was deep. I thought the writing was wonderful. I thought the messages were powerful. And I saw black people in that film that I have never seen anyplace else. And I'm pretty much, you know, we pretty much know black actors out there. And to see new black faces was a wonderful thing. And Morgan Freeman, I loved him in this.
Well, you know, it was funny to me because I joke with friends that I think Morgan Freeman and Michael Caine, I mean, they're such distinguished, powerful actors who've been in hundreds of movies. You know, you could just see them, like, you know, on the set just laughing about this. Like, do you believe how much money they're paying us?
Okay.
And because they were so great. I mean, they were just so great.
They were so awesome.
You know, for the few scenes they had, they just dominated those
yes,
scenes.
Yes, they did. Yes,
and,
they did.
And you could just tell they're the experts. And you know.
And the subtlety my favorite piece was when Batman woke up and after he had been drugged, and Morgan Freeman said, well, we did the antibody exists and big word this and big word that and big word that. And then Batman says, am I supposed to understand that? And Morgan Freeman says, I just wanted you to know that it was really, really hard.
Right. Now, how about when he took over the company near the end when the brother came in and said, oh, you know, so we got rid of you. He said, no, you don't understand. I'm in charge of this man.
Uh-huh. Didn't you get the memo?
That was great. Yeah, didn't you get the memo? That was the line.
Didn't you get the memo?
That was great.
I thought, and again, the messages in it and the wordiness of it.
Right.
It was unexpected for me because I was expecting all of the slam bam, you know, bat car and all this kind of stuff.
Sure.
And the wordiness of it, the depth of it, and the messages in it, I think that's what filmmaking is supposed to be all about. That movie.
I think so. And I think that I think the success of the Lord of the Rings films and the Harry Potter films have so upped the standard for entertainment. I think people now know they just can't come in with some okey-doke.
Kind of like with King Kong, the okey-doke of King Kong.
Well, you know, King Kong, see, again, to go back to imagery, that was an interesting attempt by Peter Jackson because, you know, he has to deal with King Kong, but he has to take out the most racist elements of it. And the way he did it was both disturbing and illuminating in terms of the white psyche, from my view, because first of all, the scene that he did with the quote-unquote Aborigines, because notice they weren't African.
No, they weren't.
The Aborigines, you know, I thought that was, like, really disgusting, and I thought it brought, you know, I mean, to me it was, like, worse than Birth of a Nation.
It was bad.
And I just couldn't believe that somebody was able to do that. And, you know, of course he tried to counter it with the black, strong guy who was part of the team.
But he killed him off.
He killed him off, right.
Trying to save the white kid.
Right, so it was back. So we went from Birth of a Nation back to the 1950s where the black guy dies first in
there
the science fiction movie.
There you go.
But at the same time, you know, people talk about King
Kong. Oh, he was a really, 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 really good-looking black guy, too. I just have to say that.
But, you know, we talk about these movies. Like, with King Kong, people talked about, oh, you know, it's a play on interracial and the black man is an ape and all of that. Peter Jackson really didn't make that film. What I noticed that film was about was the purity of the white woman.
Mm.
Because if you remember that scene in New York where she comes out and sees, you know, Kong's doing all this destruction, and then he sees her because he's looking for her. You know, he's destroying New York looking for her. Sees her, she starts walking toward him, and then you hear this angelic choir. And there's this glow around her blonde hair and her, you know, white body and all of this. And I'm kind of like, oh, this is about the holiness, the innocence, and the purity of the white woman. You know, the
and
same,
also
the same stuff that Ida B. Wells, you know, got run out of Memphis
and,
or criticized.
And the other piece of it also is the power of the white woman to soothe the beast.
Ah, because the white woman is an angel.
There you go. There you go.
And you know, the interesting thing, again, to go back to Superman, they use the John Williams score, but I noticed that they heavily augment the John Williams score with this angelic choir part of that music. So, you know, and I think it's because modern movies do this a lot now, but I think it's also because they're making points about, from the white view, they're making points about their own spirituality. They're searching for their own spirituality, and they're trying to find it by creating images. You know, so we're back now to, you know, ancient societies in which you create images of yourself as gods. Now, in a white supremacist society in which, you know, five corporations now control what the world's, what the world imagines about the world and what they even imagine about themselves, it becomes a bit dangerous because if white imagery and white supremacist imagery and white supremacist inspired imagery becomes the norm, then even our imaginations are hijacked.
Did I ever tell you that I, when I was teaching at one of the universities here, I compared images of black people. I did a comparison between Get on the Bus and Birth of a Nation.
No.
And I said that both of those films had exactly the same messages in them. And I took my students through this, through watching the films and dissecting the films. And I'm telling you, there is not a single message that was in Birth of a Nation that wasn't in Get on the Bus.
That is fascinating.
Yeah. We'll have to talk about that.
You know, the next time you invite me back, let's continue this images, and you can break that down, and I'll sit and listen.
Because I couldn't figure out what it was about the movie Get on the Bus that disturbed me, and it wasn't until I started breaking it down from the final scene of it where they stood in front of the image of Abraham Lincoln with the broken chains and hushed feeling. And Lincoln didn't free the slaves, you know. So they came back to the white person. We'll do it. We'll have this discussion.
Let me tell you a positive story from Marvel Comics. 40 years ago, Stanley Lieber and Jacob Kutzberg, who we know as Stan Lee and the late Jack Kirby, created an African king named T'Challa. He is the king of the richest nation in Africa, a nation that has never been invaded, never been conquered by European. His father gets killed by a white guy who tries to invade the country, and he develops himself like Batman. He develops himself into like the baddest superhero out, and that superhero was named, now get this, in 1966, these two white Jewish guys named this hero the Black Panther.
Hush up.
Before the Black Panther Party formed in Oakland. I'm not kidding.
Hush up.
The book is celebrating its 40th anniversary, and for its 40th anniversary, writer Reginald Hudlin, who's in charge of BET, is marrying him to Storm. So now you have two of the strongest black characters in the Marvel Comics universe getting married in a royal event next month. In fact, I think they may even have something on it on BET, since Hudlin is the president of BET Entertainment. Now, to celebrate this, last February, last African Heritage Month.
Okay, hold on to that thought because we have to take a break. We'll be back with the wedding plans when we come back.
Sure, we'll talk about it.
Todd Burrows, freelancer for Crisis Magazine. This is Looking Black. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us. We'll be back after this. To travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears, why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else? Indeed, are you going to get your washers, your dryers, your refrigerators, your stove? You need to make the outside of your home look like the fabulous inside of your home. How are you going to do that? Sears, Union and Natural Bridge. Your lawnmowers, your barbecues, your tractors, your lights, the tools, everything that you need is right there at Sears. You don't have to take a bank loan out to fill up your tank to get to the mall. Don't do it. is right here in the city of St. Louis, the only one in the city of St. Louis, Union and Natural Bridge. My name is Liz Brown. When you get to Sears for this holiday weekend, for all of those holiday great deals and that wonderful holiday customer service, tell them I told you to.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Phoenix. Officials in the states that border Mexico say it looks like President Bush is going to fail to keep his promise to have 2,500 National Guard troops along the border by the end of June. As of yesterday, there were fewer than 1,000 in place in Texas, California, Arizona, and New Mexico. The president said all 50 states would be sending guardsmen, but so far only 10 have agreed to do so. The head of the National Guard in Washington, Lieutenant General Stephen Bloom, says the commitment will be met and that reports to the contrary are incorrect and ill-formed. But the individual states say the troops are not there, and over 500 of them will not be able to report for at least 6 weeks. California had been asked to send an extra 1,500 to cover a possible shortfall, but the state refused to do so, saying it was not their problem. Flooding in the Northeast and wildfires in the Southwest have caused many states to keep their National Guard troops at home to help with their own problems. And Dateline Washington. Remember the Will Smith movie of a few years ago called Enemy of the State? It dealt with domestic eavesdropping and spying. Well, it turns out that part of the movie was based on real-life policies. A high-ranking retired National Security Administration official told the producers of the film about how illegal surveillance programs were being used as training missions, so in return, his daughter got a small part in that movie. The NSA is actually allowed to listen in on domestic surveillance as part of training missions, but that data is supposed to be destroyed at the end of the training operation. This policy apparently originated around 2002 so that communications of Secretary of State Colin Powell, New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, and some other notable people could be monitored because they had gone on record being opposed to the administration's policies on Iraq and North Korea. Apparently, the information that was supposed to have been destroyed made its way to Vice President Dick Cheney's office. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
For the issues that matter most to you, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger. Listen to me Wednesday, July 5th, when my guest will be Nathan Muller. Ever heard of the NAFTA Superhighway? You will if you tune in. That's the Sloan Ranger Show, Wednesday, July 5th at 5 p.m., right after the fireworks, only on WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Stop us and there'll be hell today. I'm late for work again. And even if I'm there, they'll all imply that I might not last today. And then you call me and it's not so bad. It's not so bad.
Looking Black, The Week in Review, The Week Ahead, and Differing Perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. I'm Liz Brown. My guest journalist for Looking Black this week is Todd Burrows, freelancer for Crisis Magazine, joining us from College Park, Maryland. So let's talk about this wedding, upcoming wedding.
Right. I just wanted to mention it. And by the way, Liz, I appreciate you letting me be comic book guy, you know, this week. You know, I can't even watch The Simpsons, by the way, because that character and I are so similar that I can't even watch it. I don't watch The Simpsons pretty much for that reason. But I wanted to say, in preparation for this wedding, Eric Jerome Dickey, you know, every sister girl's every favorite novelist,
uh-huh.
He wrote a miniseries on Storm's basically birth and growing up years.
When did he do that?
It started in February. The first issue came out in February, and the fifth issue is out now, and the next issue will be out next month. And the story that he chronicles is a very African story because, you know, she's growing up in Cairo, and they're dealing with, like, white hunters, and, I mean, all of the issues of white men trying to rape black women and all of
the,
issues are dealt with by Eric Jerome Dickey quite well, by the way, in this Storm miniseries.
So I could go to a comic book store and get those?
You got to go to the comic book store, Liz.
Okay.
And hurry, because it might be sold out, because she meets T'Challa there, who, you know, is then a prince. You know, his father has yet to be killed. So he's on his walkabout, okay? Talking about African tradition. He's on his walkabout. And he meets her and falls in love. So it's a love story with all of the racial and political overtones of colonialism and white supremacy.
Fabulous.
And this is Eric Jerome Dickey in the miniseries Storm.
Fabulous.
So anyway, all of this is being prepped toward the wedding. Now, the latest issue just came out this week of Panther and Storm. It's kind of funny. Some of his Panther superhero friends want to throw him a bachelor party.
Okay.
And him being a king, he's very much against this. So he tells, you know, one of the characters, Luke Cage, you know, why would I want to go be married with the smell of another woman on me?
Wow, they go deep, don't they?
They go deep on this.
They go deep.
So they go to Rio. Okay, they go to Rio for this bachelor party, and T'Challa, being a king, is so disgusted by these women throwing themselves at him. Because they come up and tell him, you know, pick any one of us or pick several. And he gets so disgusted, he turns and walks away. And everybody, including the Thing of the Fantastic Four, who's invited, they're like, well, what happened? They said, oh, the party's over. Because he was insulted by it.
Wow.
Very, very serious.
Now, see, that's mothers and fathers need to, their kids need to be reading these comic books.
I gave one to my boss here at University of Maryland Television because he has a 13-year-old. And I gave it to him. I said, you know, this is something that you might want to read first to make sure that he can read it. But I gave it to him for that reason.
Wow. That's fabulous. I did not know.
Yeah, the Black Panther is basically the coolest Batman you can think of, but an African king.
And by the way,
the mineral resources of his country, Wakanda, he has this mineral that nobody else on the earth has.
Kind of like the mineral that's used for telephones that can only be found in Africa?
There you go.
Wow. And so
that's why the white man was trying to invade his country for 400 or 500 years. And see, their religion is the Panther religion. The Black Panther is the religion of that country. So the king is also the king and the chieftain of the Panther clan. And T'Challa and his descendants have been protecting Wakanda for centuries, and the white man has never been able to invade the country because they're too strong.
I love this. I totally love this. I'm going to have to go to the comic book store.
There you go.
Wow. So what do you think about the new Blade series on sci-fi?
I have not seen it. I have not seen it. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it. I thought I TiVo'd it. I need to check and see if it was picked. Has it started yet? It hasn't started yet? Okay, so I...
It hasn't started yet.
That's why I haven't TiVo'd it. That's why it's not there. 454-0400 is the phone number. I want to remind everybody that on Sunday at 10 a.m., Muhammad Mosque, number 28, Minister Akbar Muhammad is going to talk to people about how do you get free land in Africa? Well, you need to be at this meeting. That's Sunday at 10 o'clock at Muhammad Mosque, number 28, 1408 North Kings Highway. And if you need more information, and this is free, by the way, the number you call is 367-9667. I'm looking at this flyer, Todd, that I got. I'm going to have these people on my show. Have you heard about this movie, Color of the Cross?
No. Tell me about it.
Color of the Cross. This is, and Debbie Morgan is the star of this. It's the first full-length movie that has portrayed Jesus Christ as a man of African descent, black man. And the reason why he was crucified was because of the color of his skin as well as being the Son of God. It's called The Color of the Cross. It's coming out in October. And I'm going to have the people on my show to talk about this, but I was asking them if they were getting the same kind of support for their film as black churches gave The Passion of the Christ. I'm just curious. I'm just curious to see if there is going to be T.D. Jakes from the pulpit demanding that or directing his church to go see a film to put
Creflo Dollar,
or Creflo Dollar to put in their religious mental Rolodex and an image of Christ as African.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We can accept Jesus as Michelangelo's distant relative. We can accept Jesus as Superman. We can accept Jesus as anything other than what we are. And again, to go back to, you know, mythology and religion, you know, as Dr. John Henry Clark and others have taught, it is natural to create, if you want to create a God image,
mm-hmm.
it is natural to create a God image in your own. Like again, to go back to the Black Panther, I'll just tell you a quick story. This was not Reginald Hudlin's version. This was another version that I think is just as good, in fact, maybe better. In fact, better in many levels. I remember reading this Black Panther story where the Black Panther, in the first story, went up against the devil.
Mm.
And the devil wanted his soul because his soul was pure.
Mm.
And the Panther said, okay, well, you can take my soul, but here are the conditions. You've got to leave my people alone.
Mm.
You must never appear before me again. So the devil goes, great, right? So he takes the Panther's soul, but here's the thing. The Panther's soul is connected to all of his ancestors. So when the devil takes his soul, the devil gets transported to the spiritual plane of all the Panther's ancestors. So you see all these Panthers, and the ancestors are in the form of Panthers. So they're all around him. And the devil gets excited because he says, I get to eat all your souls. But Panther says, yes, but you've got to take all of us at the same time. And the devil gets overwhelmed and says, stop, I'll die. And Panther said, no, you're getting what you wanted. He said, I'll do whatever you want. And Panther says, you know my price.
Wow.
That was in the first story of the Christopher Priest Black Panther. So,
and when was that?
This was a few years ago. You can get that on Amazon.com, Black Panther, The Client.
Wow. I had no idea, Todd. I had no idea.
That's the one I like better than Reginald Hudlin's because it's much more satirical. It's much more sophisticated. It's got a white narrator, and it's got all these white people around him, but it's the blackest, most African thing I ever read. It's called Black Panther, The Client. You can get it on Amazon.com. And if you want to read Reginald Hudlin's Black Panther, he has a his Black Panther's on Amazon.com, too.
Wow. Well, Todd, this is really not where I planned to go today, but I am delighted that we took this journey.
I am, too.
I am delighted. And are you really the comic book guy?
I really am. It's really sad, Liz. I mean, I'm glad I do all this serious stuff in the black struggle, you know, because even I would be afraid for myself at that point.
Todd, have a great holiday, okay?
Thank you, Liz.
All right, take care. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. That was fun. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel the brothers talking to them.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us,
black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. You will have plenty of company if you hit the road over the long holiday weekend. The AAA says nearly 40 million Americans will go somewhere for the 4th of July, even if it means paying more for gas. And if you're wondering if you will, yeah, you will.
That is about 1.2% more than last year, one of the smallest increases in recent years, but still it is an increase despite much higher gas prices. Now, listen to this. A year ago, a gallon of unleaded gasoline was $2.21. Today, the average nationally is $2.87 a gallon.
ABC's Ron Claiborne along busy I-95 in Connecticut. Is it him? There's a new audio tape, the speaker claiming he is Osama bin Laden.
The audio tape is bin Laden's tribute and eulogy to Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, the terrorist killed 3 weeks ago in Iraq by American special forces. Though we have lost one of our greatest knights, bin Laden says, we have seen him as a symbol and an example for future generations. Bin Laden defends Zarqawi's attacks on Shiite Muslims and spends much of his 19-minute diatribe attacking George W. Bush, who he calls the Pharaoh of our times. Jonathan Carl, ABC News, the Pentagon.
A quick response from Capitol Hill to yesterday's Supreme Court decision against military tribunals for detainees at Guantanamo Bay. Senate Majority Leader Frist says he'll push a bill allowing the president to use tribunals to prosecute terrorism suspects there. There's a little more than a day to go until the first shuttle mission in about a year.
Finished with their training, the crew is taking it easy and getting in some flying time. At sundown last night, Commander Steve Lindsay and Pilot Mark Kelly were flying practice landings in a training aircraft, with a heavily armed SWAT team providing extra security from a nearby helicopter.
ABC's Vic Ratner at the Kennedy Space Center. Inflation is on the rise. The Commerce Department says it was up 0.2% in May. This is ABC News.
Top three reasons I'm getting stuff done before July 4th. Number three, new patio furniture means our friends don't have to BYOC. Bring your own chairs. Number two, it's not easy making iced tea from one ice tray. We need a new fridge. And number one, I get a long vacation from payments.
Right now at the Home Depot, get special deferred financing on purchases store-wide with your Home Depot consumer credit card. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through July 5th in U.S. only. See store for details.
Aflac for Small Business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Two.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
The Delaware River is starting to recede, but officials say some of the 6,000 people evacuated may not be able to go home until late this weekend at the very earliest. Yeah, that's what President Bush is on his way to now. He's taking the Japanese Prime Minister, Junichiro Koizumi, is a big fan of Elvis Presley and has always wanted to visit Graceland. The long arm of the law reached out and yanked an Oklahoma judge right off of the bench. ABC's Richard Cantu has his story.
A jury in Bristow, Oklahoma, has convicted former Judge Donald Thompson on 4 counts of indecent exposure. You may remember the judge was accused of using a sexual device on himself while presiding over jury trials a couple of years ago. He denied it, but 3 court employees testified they saw and heard what was going on beneath the black robe. The jury is recommending 1 year in prison on each of the 4 counts. Even if he doesn't do any time, if the conviction stands, Thompson would have to register as a sex offender in Oklahoma, which would threaten his pension. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
And I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, a suspect is charged in a deadly beating in South St. Louis. 20-year-old John McCord is charged with first-degree murder and first-degree assault in Sunday's attack in the 3900 block of Eichelberger. 20-year-old Naoki Guzman died, and his 19-year-old girlfriend remains hospitalized with injuries from the beating.
Investigators are looking for the cause of a fire that heavily damaged two homes in St. Charles. The fire started yesterday afternoon in the garage of a home on Cottonwood and spread to the house next door. No one was hurt. St. Louis Mayor Francis Slay is joining the call for a raise for minimum wage workers. Slay says an increase in Missouri's minimum wage is long overdue. A November ballot initiative would increase the minimum wage in Missouri from $5.15 to $6.50 an hour. Advocates say increasing the minimum wage would help the economy and allow more people to get off welfare. The American Lung Association is encouraging people to show they care about clean air this holiday weekend. Susanna Fuchs, a spokesperson for the American Lung Association, says people need to consider carpooling, taking public transit, or walking to weekend 4th of July events. Fuchs also suggests that people hold off on using gas-powered lawn tools during the day and use a charcoal chimney starter instead of lighter fluid to start their grills. Finally this hour, about 100 disabled St. Louis area children are learning about what it takes to put on a show at the Muni. Jan Albus, the executive director of Variety, the Children's Charity of St. Louis, says the kids visited with set decorators and actors working on The Wizard of Oz and learned a song and dance performed in the show.
These are very highly concentrated and very, very educational experiences for these children who have perhaps never, ever come to a place like the Muni.
The kids will also get a chance to see a performance of The Wizard of Oz. The visit to the Muni was part of Variety's St. Louis Through the Eyes of a Disabled Child program. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Ashley Furniture Home Store's July 4 sale. This 4th of July weekend, Ashley Furniture Home Store has sofas on sale for only $297. Save on select sofas, plus no interest and no payments until 2008. See store for details. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Regions Bank. Eastbound 44 at Soccer Park and 270, everything's on the move. Westbound 270 at Illinois 3, the Canal Bridge. Look for some congestion, but most of it's cleared now. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Eastbound 70, T.R. Hughes and 79, look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 270 from New Florissant to 170, heavy traffic in the right lane. Westbound 5570 to Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays. The right center lane is closed for paving, so you have some congestion going on there, and it's back up through 3rd Street. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from 5570 on to Laclede's Landing, look for slow traffic. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB, look for stop-and-go traffic. The Eads Bridge has some delays going into downtown. And Lenore K. Sullivan will be closed in both directions from Washington Avenue through the PSB for the Fair St. Louis celebration. Also, Memorial Drive is closed at Market, Walnut, Chestnut, and Pine. The Eads Bridge will close at 9 o'clock this morning for the Eats Bridge, which will be a part of the Fair St. Louis celebration as well. And North Memorial is also closed coming off of 55 between Washington and the PSB due to the holiday fair festivities. So you need to use the park exit in order to get into downtown. The on-ramp to westbound 70 is also closed from northbound Memorial. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Regions Bank. Is your money not working hard enough for you? Get a better rate on your money market account from Regions Bank with our relationship money market. Come by any branch or call 1-800-REGIONS to find out how to make your money work harder for you. Regions Bank, member FDIC. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Partly cloudy skies this morning, a chance for rain, even thunderstorms are a possibility. The high will be in the mid-90s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 70s. Saturday and Sunday, the mirror image both days. Hot, mostly sunny both days, and highs in the mid to upper 90s both days. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds and 76 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 76 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of the award-winning Wake Up Call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
You need to get up. You need to get to me.
We have much to talk about.
314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. My name is Liz Brown. The show is archived at whiterosesociety.org, and the station is streamed at WGNU.net. That means from Xenia to Zimbabwe. You can get to us, 1-877-920-WGNU. News breaking story. Right now, as we speak, apparently there are people protesting outside of Peabody School in the city of St. Louis. Why are they protesting out there? Well, aside from having a superintendent that doesn't know what he's doing, who gets paid $300,000 a year, that's $25,000 a month. He got his check, but apparently the school teachers did not get paid, with the exception of the custodians. Staff members of Peabody are standing outside of Peabody School. They are protesting. There are 7 summer school teachers and other faculty working for summer school. They did not get paid today. No one in the city of St. Louis district got paid today, with the exception of the custodians. I bet Craig got his check. I bet Craig Williams got his check. So over at Peabody, nobody got paid. Teachers didn't get paid today. And here's what I suspect. There's something that I suspect is going to be tried to be twisted into this story. And I believe that this is going to be twisted into a story of, see, this is why we have to make all these cuts in the district, because we don't have any money. Well, $300,000 a year salary goes a long way towards paying teachers. $300,000 a year salary goes a long way towards paying teachers. Do you know that this district has spent under Craig Williams and all of those before him, we started out with $7 million private consulting contracts. It's up to some 20-something million dollars in consulting contracts this school district is spending. You think we can pay some teachers with that money? You think we can pay some teachers with that money? If we cut out every single consulting contract, you think we could pay off some bills? And we have a superintendent that was ordered by the school board to provide them with a budget that they could pass. Do you know that he has not responded by email, by phone, by letter, by carrier pigeon to any of the school board members? What does that sound like? Begins with an I. Insubordination. What does that sound like? What begins with an F, begins with an S, begins... fired. We have a superintendent that does not respond to the directives of the school board to provide them with a budget. A superintendent that won't let his records out. I want to see what his record check says. I want to see what his he won't let that information out. Insubordination. There is a reason why, ladies and gentlemen. There are teachers standing outside of Peabody School. No one in, according to information that came into the station, no one in the City of St. Louis School District got paid today except for custodians. Seven summer school teachers, other faculty working for the summer school or standing outside of Peabody School are furious. I guess so. When the superintendent makes $300,000 a year, $25,000 a month, I guess you are mad about not getting your check. My name is Liz Brown, and we're going to take a break, I believe. I believe we are. When we come back, we have much to talk about. Stay with me.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, this is Connie Mitchell, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air. Each Friday, my co-host Liz Tanz and I explore the world of writing and interview local and not-so-local authors. We discuss relevant, timely, and occasionally controversial subjects. So come hear just what it takes to write a book and learn something new along with us. Who knows? You might find a new favorite author. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays from 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and make you want me.
Now that I escape sleep, walk away.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. And don't forget that Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Muhammad Mosque, number 28, you want to get some free land in Africa? You need to come on out to this discussion with Minister Akbar Muhammad. The address is 1408 North Kings Highway, free admission. The number is 367-9667, 367-9667. It's a lecture on the availability of free land in Africa for Africans in America. Also, he's going to, Minister Akbar is going to update on the Darfur-Sudan issue. So come on out Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Muhammad Mosque, 1408 North Kings Highway, 367-9667, 367-9667. For more information. You don't want to miss this. Free land in Africa for Africans in America. You don't want to miss it. 10 o'clock Sunday at the Muhammad Mosque, 1408 North Kings Highway, 367-9667 for more information. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me. Or maybe not. There's a cervical cancer vaccine. CDC urges the vaccine for girls ages 11 to 12. I'm frightened to death of this. I am frightened to death of this. Preteen girls should be given the new vaccine to prevent the most common cause of cervical cancer. The CDC, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, they voted unanimously to recommend that all 11 and 12-year-old girls be immunized to prevent infection from this. It can be given to the girls as young as 9. We're trying to provide the vaccine to girls before the onset of sexual activity. And this time I'm finding myself on the side of folks that normally aren't on the right side of a lot of social issues. I'm fearful that this is going to be something that is required for school admission. This is scary to me. This is very, very, very scary to me. Roz, good morning.
It blew my stack when I heard that on the news yesterday. My daughter's 14 years old, and if they do say something about kids that young being tested or given shots, mine won't get one. Because that is very scary. My daughter's not sexually active. She was a virgin last month when I checked last. You know what I'm saying? And I don't see no reason for it.
I'm frightened simply because it's not proven.
It's not a proven fact,
we don't have a generation of people that have grown up with this mess in them. It's awful. No,
mine won't be getting one.
And I don't believe anything that they say about this is 100%. This is 100% effective. There's nothing that man has made that's 100% of anything. Nothing that man has made that's 100%, let alone some kind of virus protection.
If condoms ain't 100%,
okay.
Them shots ain't either.
All right. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Barbara.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm
outstanding.
Good. Can you say sterilization or bird flu infection?
Oh, Jesus.
That's what I'm thinking. Jesus. I wouldn't trust this government as far as I could throw it, and that's not very far of my arthritis.
Jesus.
The other thing is I was in the military, and I worked with on the cancer ward at Walter Reed, and this isn't proven. Those women came in there with cancer from all different, from battery, from injury, that didn't heal properly. And whose research are they basing this on? Where is this coming from?
Well, the vaccine is from Merck. And they won.
Merck. We don't already trust Merck.
They won approval from the Food and Drug Administration. Now, this is the same Food and Drug Administration that hasn't given approval. They haven't given approval for the morning after pill. Okay, for the morning after pill. They're saying that they haven't given approval on that. How did you come up and give approval on this so quickly?
That's true. That's true.
You know, you have said no to the morning after pill.
Well,
and all that is a higher dose of birth control that, you know, the women already take.
Thank you.
So we already know what that does. Doctors have been telling women forever, take an extra dose of your pills, and that then you have a morning after pill.
Exactly.
But the same FDA has said no to that, and they're saying yes to this, putting shots like this in 9-year-old babies. Oh, heck
oh,
no.
My goodness.
Oh, heck no.
Well, Liz, with the way the schools are now, if they start forcing it, can you say homeschooling?
There you
community
go.
Community schooling. Forget them.
Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Liz Brown.
Good morning.
I am a great-grandmother, and I'm thoroughly against this vaccine.
Mm.
I don't have at this age, 9-year-old granddaughter, great-granddaughter, but I do have a younger great-granddaughter, and I'm against it. I encourage all parents to research this. I encourage them to, if have to, get a waiver card. My child shall not be vaccinated.
Okay.
I am against this, even for those young ladies who haven't began their menstrual cycle.
And you want to mess with what is going on in a young girl's body. And also, these are 3 shots they have to get. 3 shots, 3 times in 6 months. They want to start with 11 and 12-year-olds, and they may do it to 9-year-olds? Who are you going to be? What girl are you going to be filling up with this stuff at the age of 9?
I am against it. I'm thoroughly against it. I'm going to encourage all of the young people that I come in contact with that volunteer. I'm going to encourage them that not to do this. Whatever is necessary to protect their children, any vaccine,
absolutely.
Any vaccine,
absolutely.
They are not comfortable with any vaccine. You can say against my religious beliefs, against my medical doctor's advice. Please do not do this to our children.
Okay.
They're guinea pigs enough.
That's a fact. Then this is the same FDA that says it's okay to experiment on pregnant women, that pesticide companies can experiment on pregnant women. I'm supposed to trust that FDA, that this is safe? This FDA has said we can experiment, pesticide companies can experiment on pregnant women and children, and you're the same, out that same mouth, you're telling me that this is safe? Oh, like I'm going to accept anything that you say.
And this is the company that has given us some difficulties already with approved medication?
Mm.
I'm against it.
All right now.
I'm going to speak to everyone I can.
Absolutely.
Do not let your children, grands and great-grands, be guinea pigs.
Absolutely.
Against it. Sign whatever waiver forms we have to, because it is going to get to a point where you're going to have this vaccine for school admission.
That's right. That's right.
I'm proud.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you for your time.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Mario.
Yes, I just wanted to backtrack to the guy earlier that was talking about the Black Panther comics. And I collect comic books, and he's absolutely right about the Black Panther comics. They're very, very powerful, and I suggest that anyone, you know, who wants their sons to look up to any superhero in a black image to go get Black Panther. There's an issue number 12 in which him and other black superheroes goes down to aid the people in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. So I just wanted to say that.
Okay. Thanks for that, Mario. Have
right.
a great weekend.
Right.
We're taking a break. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else are you going to get a washer, a dryer, a refrigerator, a stove, a tractor, a barbecue pit, tools, treadmills, big screen, little screen, DVD players, you name it, they have it at Sears right there at Union and Natural Bridge. You don't have to take out a bank loan. You don't have to borrow some money. You don't have to worry because Sears is right here where you live at Union and Natural Bridge. Also, one of the great things about this Sears are the great deals. And I'm talking about specials. I'm talking about money off. I'm talking about great combination deals that you can get at this Sears that you can't get at any other Sears. It's worth your time. It's worth your travel. It's worth your energy. It's worth your money. Get on out to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. I'm Liz Brown. Tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hey, it's Brian Self from The Stranglehold here on WGNU. And you know, some people think that just because The Stranglehold is about pro wrestling, all we do is throw around some chairs and scream real loud.
You can say what you want about our clothes, but, you know, we have no problem in whooping somebody's butt again. We could start with you if you want.
Well, we don't need to do that. Okay, so maybe things tend to get a little excited. However, we're also not afraid to get into some of the serious issues that go beyond the ring.
For me, you know, over the years I've taken Percocets and Vicodins and everything, never had a problem. I would take a couple, put the rest in my bag, and never had an issue with it.
Right.
But with the OxyContin, taking close to 50 pills a day, which should have killed me. There's no reason why I'm still here.
So check it out, The Stranglehold, Tuesday nights at 6:30, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Advil Arthritis. Eastbound 70 TR Hughes and 79 at traffic's easing. Westbound 40 at 270 in Mason. Look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 270 from New Florissant to 170. Look for heavy traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 40 from McKnight to Hanley. You've got slow traffic there as well. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect delays due to the right center lane being closed for paving operations. Westbound Kingbridge traffic, northbound Route 3, and westbound Eastbridge traffic. You can look for some delays rolling into the Poplar Street area. Lenore K. Sullivan is closed for the Fair St. Louis celebration from Washington Avenue all the way back to the Poplar Street Bridge. Memorial Drive is also closed to Market, Walnut, Chestnut, and Pine, and the Eats Bridge will close in about a half an hour to start the transformation to the Eats Bridge celebration. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Advil Arthritis. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you hurt, Advil works. Advil, the every pain reliever. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Partly cloudy today, a 20% chance of showers in the morning. Otherwise, the high should be in the mid-90s this evening. Mostly clear with a low in the lower 70s. Saturday and Sunday, pretty much the same. Hot both days, mostly sunny both days, and the high in the mid to upper 90s both days. Currently, we have clouds and 76 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm Vicki Pimentel, inviting you to join me Friday nights here on WGNU for a little sports talk. We'll drop the gloves, scuffle a bit, and in the end, line up and shake hands. Well, maybe not line up and shake hands.
From A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs.
Oh!
OJ Photo Supply, a standard of quality service since 1970. 8338 Olive. Cameras, digital cameras, photo restorations. What's the best film for my camera? OJ Photo Supply can answer your questions. OJ Photo Supply, 8338 Olive, 991-5550. Don't forget, always check your decks.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryan.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Or don't forget that we are archived at whiterosesociety.org. That's whiterosesociety.org. And we are streamed. That's 24/7 at WGNU.net. So from Xenia to Zimbabwe, you can get to us, 1-877-920-WGNU. We have been talking about a number of things this morning. One of the issues that always, that kind of percolates through the conversations that we have about the State of the Union, the discussions that we have about where we are, I think we always have to start with, or at least it's always percolating through. Where are we economically? And where are we and why are we there? I'm looking at the front page of the Financial Times. Things are not as safe and secure as they should be economically. I'm thinking back to last week where there was a discussion about the raise that Congress gave themselves. Mind you, by the by, it was late. It's not a standalone piece of legislation. It's buried in another piece of legislation. But it's a raise nevertheless. And given the challenging economic times that we are living in, mortgage foreclosures are rampant. People are having difficult times getting jobs. And when they get jobs, they don't have the benefits that they used to have. Therefore, more out-of-pocket money is used. Healthcare coverage is not the same as it used to be. People are being pulled. Gas prices, $3 plus a gallon. There are economic challenges. And so one has to marvel at the fact that our good government found need in these challenging economic times to give themselves a raise for all of the hard anti-flag burning legislation work that they have done. It's horrid work. It's horrid of being a congressman. At almost $200,000. I have to think back. The last time that the minimum wage was raised to the year 2006. And if you add up the amount of money of raises that our good Congress has received from the last time we got a raise to now, our good Congress has received approximately 30-something thousand dollars worth of raises. And we have received none. We need to talk about this. We need to talk about the minimum wage and its impact, what it should be, what it could be, and what it's not. We have John Schmidt, an economist with Center for Economic Policy and Research, joining us from Washington, D.C. this morning. John, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Very good. Congress has gotten about a $30,000 raise since the last time the minimum wage was raised. When was the last time the minimum wage was raised?
The last time that Congress voted to increase the minimum wage was in 1996, and they did it in two stages. So there was a small increase in 1996 and then another increase in 1997 to the current rate of $5.15 an hour.
Now, how does that relate, John, to the cost of living, the current minimum wage? How do we measure that?
Well, the sensible thing with the minimum wage to try and gauge where it stands is not just to look at the amount of money it is, $5.15 right now. It's the sensible thing is to adjust that for inflation, because what happens is the Congress sets that, say, back in 1997 at $5.15, but each year that it doesn't increase the minimum wage, the the price increases, inflation, erode the value. So actually right now, in 2006, we actually have, if you adjust for inflation, the level of the minimum wage at the lowest point it's been in 50 years.
Mm.
So it's quite an astonishing level that we've reached, given how much richer a country we are now than we were 50 years ago.
And we hear statements from businesses all the time. We hear comments from folks all the time saying that, well, if we raise the minimum wage, I will have to. There was a report that came out just a couple of days ago. Small businesses were saying that if we raise the minimum wage, then I'm not going to be able to give raises to my employees that have been here longer. I'm going to have to start paying this extra amount to these incoming employees. How do you respond to that? Is that accurate?
Well, I think that every time we have a proposal to increase the minimum wage, a pretty vocal part of the business community, and especially among some small business owners, makes a lot of noise and argues that this is going to, you know, be a complete disaster, that the sky is going to fall. But we have extensive experience with increasing the minimum wage, moderate amounts, and you know, we've done it since the minimum wage was first implemented in the late 1930s. In 1996 and 97, we heard the same kinds of cries about the disaster that would fall on the country. And actually, you know, what we saw from 1996-97 through about 2000 was the strongest economy we'd had in decades. We had one of the lowest, we had sustained low unemployment, we had low inflation, we had lots of job creation. And I think that that is actually much more typical of the response to the minimum wage. It's basically what's going to happen in the economy is going to happen, and the minimum wage doesn't derail anything. But what it does is it makes sure that people who are at the bottom of the pay scale get to participate in whatever economic benefits we have.
The purpose of the minimum wage was to do what?
Well, back when it was implemented in the 1930s, it was to combat incredibly low wages for people who were working very hard and trying to raise their families. And that's exactly what the minimum wage does today. It's a lot of people think that the minimum wage is something that helps teenagers who are working after school. And there are certainly some teenagers who are working after school who are going to be who would get a raise under the current proposals to increase the minimum wage. But 70% of the people who would get an increase under the proposal that's currently before Congress are 20 years or older, and actually 50% of them are 25 and older. So there's a lot of adults who are working full-time jobs and trying to raise families who are going to be affected as well.
So when we have this discussion about minimum wage, and we started the history of it back in the 30s, that it was designed to provide kind of a living wage. There's a difference today, John, isn't there, between a living wage and a minimum wage? Because how much money does a person make a year if they're just working for minimum wage?
Yeah, if you're earning the minimum wage, $5.15 per hour, and you work 52 weeks a year, you have no vacation, you work 40 hours a week, you're going to be making somewhere between $10,000 and $11,000 per year. Which is, you know, absolutely impossible amount of money to try and support yourself and even one other person anywhere in the country. So the minimum wage does fall far short of anything that we would consider to be a living wage. Even the proposed increase, which I think is a very good idea and a step in the right direction, falls very short of what most American families need. But it's something I think we need to do. To me, the biggest gap for Americans isn't typically wages. Wages are low, especially at the bottom, but it's the lack of health insurance that typically goes along with these jobs. And unfortunately, increasing the minimum wage won't address that part of people's problems. But it's very, very important to increase from $5.15 to the current proposal of, say, $7.25 per hour.
Where can we, I mean, can you get a sense, can you give us a sense, actually, of where Americans stand on the idea of, and I'm not talking about the business owners, but the,
right,
where the average American stands on the idea of raising the minimum wage?
The minimum wage is always a very popular issue with Americans because I think we have a strong sense of respect for people who work hard as a community, as a country. And if you look at the polls, the two most recent polls I've seen are actually from late last year. And both of them find over 80% of Americans think that it's time to increase the minimum wage. And I think that's one reason why we're seeing some pressure right now in Congress, because even though the Republicans control both the House and the Senate and have traditionally been opposed to increasing the minimum wage, some of their members are starting to peel off because they realize there's elections in November and they don't want to look like they're callous, especially in light of the fact that they've voted themselves an increase in pay, as you were talking about a little earlier.
Well, we're going to take a break. We're talking to John Schmidt. He is an economist with the Center for Economic Policy and Research in Washington, D.C. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me. We'll be back.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline New Orleans. Word out of the Crescent City that over 5,000 public housing units that low-income people call home are going to be torn down and replaced by housing units for more affluent people. Many of the complexes had been damaged by Katrina and have been abandoned and left to rot. Some of the displaced people of New Orleans had been squatting in them anyway because they had no place else to go. This new idea is called the Hope 6 program and will allow for only about 10% of the original population to come back. An advocacy group called the United Front for Affordable Housing calls the decision equal to a type of ethnic cleansing because supplemental services such as public schools and health care service for those areas are also going to be cut back to ensure not too many poor find their way back. Housing and Urban Development Secretary Alfonso Jackson says New Orleans will not be as black as it was for a long time, if ever again. And Dateline Detroit. Another piece of movie news for you this morning. The Michael Moore movie, Fahrenheit 9/11, had a scene with two Marine recruiters pressuring young people to sign up outside a shopping mall. Well, one of those recruiters, Staff Sergeant Raymond Plohar, died earlier this week after being wounded in battle in Anbar province in Iraq. His father said he had just over a month left on his tour of duty, and he's devastated but proud of his son. He joined the Corps in 1995, but took a 4-year leave of absence from active duty when he donated a kidney to his uncle. His father also said his son was not happy with the movie as a whole because he felt it portrayed the war in a negative light. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare. Still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare. Still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Mark Hinderleiter, host of Lessons in Leadership. Every Friday afternoon, I interview high-level leaders about leadership issues that matter most. As far as I know, it's the only show of its kind. Whether you're an executive, manager, teacher, coach, volunteer leader, or the head of a family, this show is for you. You'll get practical tips from real leaders on topics that can give you the competitive edge in the marketplace. Tune in every Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock to Lessons in Leadership.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Father, stop. Criticize your son. Mother, please leave your daughters alone. Don't
Everybody wants somebody to be their own piece of play.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And also, if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. Don't forget that we are going to be meeting at the Urban Institute this Saturday at 9 a.m. from 9 a.m. to 11. The address is 1020 North Taylor. That's 1020 North Taylor. Urban Institute, Irene J. Smith and myself be there this Saturday morning at 9 a.m. The address is 1020 North Taylor. This morning we are having a discussion about the minimum wage. This hour we're having a discussion about the minimum wage. Our guest is joining us from Washington, D.C., John Schmidt. He's an economist with the Center for Economic Policy and Research. And, John, welcome back. One of the things that people talk about when they make the claim of that the reason why we need an increase in the minimum wage is the disparity between what the average CEO makes and what the average minimum wage worker makes.
Yeah, that I think goes straight to the core of what the issue is. The situation is we have an incredibly wealthy country, and we are now much wealthier than we were. The point for me that's particularly important is at the end of the 1970s, when we started to have a lot of economic problems, we're much wealthier than we were then. If you look at what the average worker produces, adjusting for inflation, it's about 60% more now. There's about 60% more productive than they were back then. Yet what has happened is over the last 30 years or so, we have seen a real shift in the way all of that output gets distributed and shared among workers and managers and people who own companies. And the shift has worked hugely against the interests of middle and low wage workers. And the minimum wage comes in and says, tries to address one part of that, which is the circumstances facing the workers at the very bottom of the pay scale. And it tries to say, This is just completely unacceptable that people in such a wealthy country can be trying to get by on so little money, and it tries to raise that up to a level that's a little closer to sensible. But it's that gap between what people at the top and the very top make compared to the rest of us that I think is really the fundamental economic and political problem that the United States faces right now.
But you said, John, that so many Americans get this. They understand that the minimum wage needs to be raised. What's the problem with Congress?
Well, the problem with Congress is that at the moment it is, and for the last long while, it's been controlled by particularly the leadership in Congress that is very beholden to economic interests of corporations. And I think what that means is that they drag their feet even when there's a very large democratic will among the people to try and address problems. The people who are going to have to end up paying for this are people who employ low-wage workers, and they're a powerful group because they employ low-wage workers, and therefore they make a lot of money.
How is McDonald's hurt if the minimum wage is raised? How much do they want to raise it? How much are we talking about?
Well, the current proposals are to raise the minimum wage from the current level of $5.15 an hour to $7.25 over the next 2 years.
Basically. So we're not talking about $2 straight up?
No, we're talking about phasing it in. It's a very modest increase,
It's a hugely modest increase. How much is McDonald's impacted by this little increase over this period of years? Is it really something that arguably hurts their bottom line?
The truth is it's likely to hurt their bottom line at some level, which is why they're resisting it. I think that what they tend to do is significantly overestimate what that impact is.
And we're not talking about the ability to make profit. We're talking about a little, maybe a little less profit.
We're talking about sharing the profits that are there more equitably between people who own the company, people who manage the company, and people who work for the company. That's what we're talking about. Right now, there's lots of profits. The U.S. profit situation for corporations is extremely good right now. And
well, we can look at Exxon and see that.
Yeah, and a whole host of other companies that are doing extremely well, despite the fact that most Americans feel a lot of uncertainty right now. They feel a lot of insecurity about what's going on in the economy.
And
but corporations don't feel that right now.
Well, not when you look at looking at Exxon. They aren't feeling it. They're talking about they don't even know where to spend all of their profit.
Yeah.
The uncertainty, the skittishness, the fearfulness that Americans are feeling out here, is that based in reality? Are jobs harder to come by? Are people having a more difficult time making money?
I definitely think that the feelings that people have about the economy are very real, and I think they are linked to a long period of stagnating wages. We've had very bad wage performance in most of the 2000s. We had a good run for the last 4 years, 5 years of the 1990s, and before that we had very bad wage growth and for a lot of Americans wage declines for about 15 years before that. So we're coming off of a long period where wage performance has been very substandard, much worse than it was in the, say, the post-war period up until the end of the 1970s when we had regular wage growth that was two or three, even four times higher than what we've had since. The other thing is we have a lot more uncertainty about whether you're going to have your job, how long you're going to have your job, and that's important. And then the big trend that's taking place right now that I think is important to focus on is the situation in U.S. healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Americans, you know, right now over 45 million Americans did not have any health insurance at all last year. And something like 70 or 75 million Americans at some point last year did not have health insurance. So they had it.
That's in addition to the 45?
No, including the 45. So you're talking a very large portion of the country that had to go without health insurance either all of last year or part of last year. And among people who are lucky enough to have health insurance, you know, there's been a big shift in who bears that cost. It used to be that employers would provide much or all of the cost, and that has been eroding. Far fewer companies now provide all of the costs for health care. Employees are being asked to pay a significant chunk. And they see that the premiums are going up 12, 15, 18% a year, and it doesn't take very long for things to go up 10, 12, 18% a year before they starting to take a huge portion of your budget.
And John, aren't we also seeing with regard to health care issues, aren't we also seeing that not only are people, employees bearing a larger share of it, but we're also seeing that the insurance that people are getting doesn't cover the same thing that it used to cover?
Yes, that is, I think, another huge source of inefficiency in our healthcare system. We actually have one of the most inefficient healthcare systems in the world.
In the world.
We spend 15% of our gross domestic product each year to provide health insurance and healthcare to people. The next biggest amount of money spent in a comparable country in the world is Germany, and they spend about 11.5%. They have universal coverage. They have a lot of advantages, much better health outcomes than we do.
And we have 75 million people last year
who didn't have health insurance at some point, and 45 million didn't have it at all.
At all.
And I think...
And, John, that's going to have to be the last word. I'm
okay.
Sorry. John Schmidt, economist with the Center for Economic Policy and Research. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do you have a website for us?
Yeah, www.cepr.net.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Have a great holiday.
Thank you. You too.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back after the news. It's coming up on 9 o'clock. Stay with me.
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound. That's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel me, brother.
Truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. It's
struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. It didn't take Congress long to respond to a bombshell decision from the Supreme Court. The justices said President Bush does not have authority to order military tribunals for foreign detainees at Guantanamo Bay. But ABC's Pam Coulter says that may not be the case soon.
After the Supreme Court declared military tribunals for detainees illegal, Congress is moving quickly to authorize the process, adding appropriate due process protections. Senate leader Bill Frist planned to introduce a bill after the 4th of July, but Pennsylvania Republican Arlen Specter beat him to it. Detainees facing trial will probably have to wait for the new process to begin, but it's possible the high court ruling could speed things up for the more than 100 prisoners who are either eligible for release or returned to their home countries. Pam Coulter, ABC News, Washington.
The military has ordered an investigation into allegations that U.S. soldiers killed an Iraqi family of four near Mahmoudia. Osama bin Laden has spoken again.
On the tape, bin Laden mourns the death of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, praising the terrorist as a symbol and an example for future generations. Much of the tape is a diatribe against George W. Bush. Despite the death of Zarqawi, he says, "We will continue to fight you and your allies everywhere, in Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia, and Sudan." The CIA is conducting a voice analysis to confirm the tape's authenticity, but officials say it appears to be real. Jonathan Carl, ABC News, the Pentagon.
We're hitting the road for the 4th of July. The AAA says 40 million Americans will travel somewhere over the long holiday weekend.
That is about 1.2% more than last year, one of the smallest increases in recent years, but still it is an increase despite much higher gas prices. Now, listen to this. A year ago, a gallon of unleaded gasoline was $2.21. Today, the average nationally is $2.87 a gallon.
This is ABC News.
Top three reasons I'm getting stuff done before July 4th. Number three, new patio furniture means our friends don't have to BYOC. Bring your own chairs. Number two, it's not easy making iced tea from one ice tray. We need a new fridge. And number one, I get a long vacation from payments.
Right now at the Home Depot, get special deferred financing on purchases store-wide with your Home Depot consumer credit card. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through July 5th in U.S. only. See store for details.
Aflac for Small Business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Two.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
President Bush is on his way to Graceland. He's taking Japanese Prime Minister Koizumi with him. Koizumi's a big fan. There's trouble on the eve of the Tour de France, a doping scandal.
Favorite Jan Ulrich and Ivan Basso and dozens of other cyclists have been barred from the Tour de France after being named in a Spanish investigation into doping. Ulrich, a five-time runner-up, appears on a list of 56 cyclists, including American Tyler Hamilton, said to have had contact with a doctor charged in connection with alleged doping. Team T-Mobile, which suspended Ulrich and two others, said the information didn't leave any room for doubt. A big bust for the world's most prestigious cycling tournament.
ABC's Linda Alvin in London. If you or your child are applying for a student loan, you might want to get that application in today because as of tomorrow, interest goes up by 2%. Patricia Sherethel of Sally Mae says that means you're down to a number of hours.
All borrowers have to do is get their consolidation application paperwork in the hopper no later than midnight June 30th.
Could mean $1,000 or more in savings. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, foul play isn't suspected in the death of an Indiana man at Babbler State Park. 60-year-old Eric Applegate of Indianapolis was found dead at a campsite in the park Wednesday evening. Police believe Applegate died of natural causes.
The former superintendent of the Wentzville School District will be on probation for the next 2 years. Thomas Byers entered an Alford plea yesterday on charges of stalking and soliciting sex from a female school district employee. Byers resigned after he was charged in February. He must also give up his teaching certificate. NASA is moving forward with plans to launch Space Shuttle Discovery tomorrow. Greg Mariniak, the director of the McDonald Planetarium at the St. Louis Science Center, says this is an important mission.
The main reason is because it's return to flight of the shuttle after a full year since the last flight of this orbiter and the last flight of any shuttle.
Mariniak notes there are some people who feel this launch should be scrapped due to concerns about insulating foam falling from the external fuel tank. The St. Louis Science Center will hold a special launch watch party at 2:30 Saturday afternoon. Finally this hour, the Patriarch of the Maronite Catholic Church is in St. Louis as part of his pastoral tour of the United States. His Beatitude and Eminence, Nasrallah Peter Cardinal Spire, arrived yesterday. This afternoon, he'll receive St. Louis University's highest honor, the Sword of Ignatius Loyola. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by CompUSA. Get to CompUSA this Friday night for sizzling hourly specials and all kinds of red-hot deals. It's Midnight Madness. This Friday, 6 p.m. to midnight at CompUSA. We got it. We get it. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Lenore K. Sullivan Boulevard is closed both directions from Washington Avenue through the Poplar Street Bridge for Fair St. Louis. Memorial Drive is also closed at Market, Walnut, Chestnut, and Pine. North Memorial Drive is closed coming off of 55 from Washington into the Poplar Street Bridge throughout the holiday weekend due to Fair St. Louis. Use Park Avenue exit to get around, and the on-ramp onto westbound 70 is also closed from northbound Memorial. MoDOT is picking up all construction areas today at noon except for permanent lane drops in lengthy construction zones. The Eads Bridge is closed until Wednesday due to the Eads Bridge event, and all your approaches into the downtown area are slowing down at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Just how thirsty are you? Quench your thirst without ever leaving the cool air conditioning of your car with a Hugo-sized drink at McDonald's for just 89 cents. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Partly cloudy, 20% chance of showers this morning. Otherwise, high in the mid-90s. For this evening, mostly clear, low in the lower 70s. For Saturday, hot, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-90s. And Sunday, hot, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-90s as well. Currently, we have clouds and 76 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 76 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
Progress is healing your wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing
truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. And some bookkeeping matters. Don't forget Saturday at 9 o'clock. That's tomorrow. The Urban Institute will meet. The Urban Institute will meet once again. And Irene J. Smith and myself, 9 o'clock at 1020 North Taylor. We will have copies of the movie Loose Change there as well for you. So you don't want to miss that. That is at 1020 North Taylor tomorrow. And also on Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Muhammad Mosque, number 28, that's 1408 North Kings Highway, free admission. Minister Akbar Muhammad is going to be lecturing on the availability of free land in Africa for people of African descent in this country. So you don't want to miss this lecture. You don't want to miss this discussion. How do you get free land in Africa? You need to be at this discussion. Minister Akbar Muhammad, Sunday at 10 a.m. at Muhammad Mosque, number 28 at 1408 North Kings Highway. Of course, Akbar Muhammad will also be providing an update on the Darfur Sudan issue. You know that we both went to, or I joined him when he was going to Sudan. Very knowledgeable about what is going on in the Sudan. So you don't want to miss this. That is Sunday. What's the address? 1408 North Kings Highway. What's the time? At 10 a.m. What's the cost? It's free admission. For more information, you can call 367-9667. That's 367-9667. A lecture on the availability of free land in Africa. How do you get free land in Africa? Find out at 10 o'clock on Sunday. And this is land for people of African descent here in America. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much to talk about. In the 7 o'clock hour, we had a discussion with Todd Burroughs, our looking black guest. And part of the conversation that we had, kind of a bit of the conversation, was about how stories can be told now with the conglomeration of the media. Who owns the media dictates to us the stories that we are getting now. And we need to continue that conversation. We need to continue the conversation about the impact of this. I don't think that all of us fully have fully absorbed the weight of these changes that have been made and fully absorbed the impact of those changes on your life. And we need to have that discussion this morning. Joining us from Washington, D.C., Craig Aaron. the communications director with Free Press, is going to talk about this issue. Craig, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure. Do you think that most of us get it really out here of how much our lives are affected by all of this conglomeration and all of this merging and becoming of one?
Well, I think people are starting to wake up to what's going on with all of it. But, you know, on a day-to-day basis, I think people just feel like the media is something that happens to them. And that wherever they go, you know, well, it's just bad, and that's just the way it is. And, you know, one of the things that we're working on is trying to get people to really look at the media as a political issue, to look at the decisions being made here in Washington and how those affect what the media looks like everywhere else, how it affects, you know, who gets on the air, who gets to own the stations, how many stations they're allowed to own, and the impact that has on the kind of news and information, the kind of entertainment programming that we get from our radio and television stations.
Craig, give us some sense of the changes that have been made in recent memory, because these are monumental mergings and changes.
Well, to go back, in the last 20 years, the number of corporations that control the majority of the media in the United States has gone from about 50 different corporations to about 5. The largest companies owning radio stations, as recently as 1996, the biggest radio station-owning company owned about 65 stations across the country. Today, Clear Channel, which also owns 6 stations there in St. Louis, owns more than 1,200 stations across the country.
1,200. Hold that thought, Craig, because we have to take a break.
No problem.
I want people to resonate on that for a minute. We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Craig Aaron, Communication Director with Free Press. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about who owns the media and what that means in your life. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Praise the Lord, Radio Land. This is Bishop John Blue inviting you to listen every Saturday afternoon at 1:30 for the Jesus Owned Church of God of the Apostolic Faith broadcast. We are living in a time when God is moving in His mighty ways, and I am encouraging you to listen and believe so that you might receive the blessings of God has for you every Saturday afternoon at 1:30 right here on AM 920. WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
From A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs. Affordable eye care, $69.75 Olive in University City. Do you need the latest in eyeglasses? How about an eye exam? You get it all at Affordable Eye Care. That's $69.75 Olive. Call for an exam, 721-2698. Don't forget, always check your decks.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Para donde vas? Para donde vas? Para donde vas? Para donde vas? Donde vas? Para donde vas?
Cha-cha.
Para donde vas?
Oye,
¿para dónde vas?
Dime.
¿Para dónde vas? ¿Dónde vas?
Si vas al baile, baila conmigo. Si vas al carnaval, quiero ir.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. I am talking to Craig Aaron, the communications director with Free Press, joining us from Washington, D.C. We are talking about new FCC ownership rules. We're talking about the impact of all of this merging and becoming of one in the media industry, how it impacts on you. Craig, you were talking about Clear Channel owning 1,200?
Yeah, that's right, more than 1,200 stations across the country.
Mm.
And, you know, multiple stations, you know, where there used to be lots of different radio owners in a given market, now there are effectively no caps, and so these stations can swallow up six, even eight stations in the largest markets owned by one company. And the effect of that has been, you know, a real squeeze on the people working in radio. Local newsrooms obliterated, you know, they're almost not around anymore, very hard to hear the news on a lot of radio stations. Even the sales staff, folks like that, lots of jobs that were out there in radio, now they're all consolidated, and these behemoths, you know, can go around and really use that power, use that leverage of owning so many stations to really, you know, make life a lot more difficult for the smaller groups and the few independent stations that are still out there. So,
and that's inside.
That's on radio, too.
And that's inside radio. Outside radio, what we hear is the same music on the same type of music on every station.
That's right. I mean, you go. I've been all across the country talking to people about the media, and almost everywhere you go, they think their local radio is some of the worst. They can't imagine it's worse anywhere else, and it isn't, because it's the same in so many places. You talk about local TV, you get a lot the same. Oh, ours must be the worst. And you know, I think that really says a lot about what this consolidated media is bringing to the local level. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't great individuals out there doing good work. There certainly are within the corporate media and outside of it. But the fact is that these companies are so focused on the bottom line that they've lost sight of how to serve local communities, how to provide the news and information that all of us really need to be informed citizens in a democracy, to find out what's going on in our communities, what's going on in Washington, what's going on around the world. And the media has a very special responsibility to keep people informed, and unfortunately they've lost sight of that in a lot of places.
So, okay, that's the entertainment piece of it, the music piece of it, what we like to listen to relax or for our pleasure. Let's talk about the cost or the impact of this type of ownership with the news that we hear or the news that we see.
Well, I mean, as many people know, we've seen a deterioration in the quality of news and information and journalism that's available, and that is a direct result of this corporate consolidation, because local newsrooms have been squeezed, you know, smaller staff, more demands on time for them to fill. They simply aren't getting out there and doing the kind of serious investigative journalism, the serious coverage of local communities and what's happening all across those communities. Instead, because it's cheap, you know, you do crime stories, you do celebrity stories. These are easy to cover. They don't cost very much. They don't offend anybody who's actually in power. But what they don't do, they also don't do, is really inform people about what's really happening in their communities. And so this is the kind of thing we've seen go on all across the country, and I believe that it ties directly back into the continued weakening of media ownership rules, allowing just a handful of big companies to swallow up more and more local outlets to really dominate the local markets. And we're about to head, the rules are being reviewed again. It just started a week ago.
And that's the discussion that I want you to bring us to, that it's apparently the FCC is not done.
Well, they're not done. Now, they are mandated by Congress and the courts to review media ownership rules, but they every couple of years. But they've taken this upon themselves. Instead of reviewing the rules to see what's really going on, they're using it as an excuse to just continue to try to weaken them. They start the discussion by saying, should we weaken the rules? Should we allow companies to own more and more of the media? Now, the last time they tried this in 2003, there was really an unprecedented public reaction, and more than 3 million people contacted the FCC and Congress opposing the rule changes, opposing letting big media companies own more stations across the country, opposing letting them own newspapers and broadcast stations in the same market, opposing them letting them swallow up even more stations in the local market, multiple TV stations, plus radio stations. So we saw this happen. It went through the courts. The courts threw out the FCC's rule changes in 2003 after this tremendous public, really uprising, unprecedented. More people contacted Congress in 2003 about media ownership than any other issue except for the war in Iraq. And so really, it never happened before, and really put a lot of leaders on notice that this was an issue, that media issues were something people cared about.
And get.
Yeah, absolutely. Once and more, the more they become so involved with media, you know, both making their own media plus everything going on with the Internet, you know, that they really seeing the impact that has on their lives and are starting to say, well, hey, media isn't just something that happens to me. You know, I can be involved in the decisions that dictate, you know, how our media is shaped.
And I need to be because of the crap that's being shoveled to me right now.
Well, that's absolutely right. So it really, once people get it, once they have that aha moment that the media isn't just something that happens to them, you know, they become very involved and becomes very important to them, and more people are having that. But nonetheless, there's still a lot of big money on the other side. And before too many people catch on, They are again trying to get the Federal Communications Commission to change the rules.
Now, and change them too.
The rules that they want to get rid of, one of them is called the Newspaper Broadcast Cross-Ownership Rule. Sounds kind of dull, but what it's about is currently in most places, a company is prohibited from owning both the daily newspaper and television or radio stations to ensure that there is at least, you know, a limited variety of viewpoints and opinions available. Now, there are some places where that's not true. They would have been grandfathered in because they started, you know, even before there was a Federal Communications Commission. But in most places, that's a law, and the big media companies are very eager to get rid of it, including, you know, most certainly a number of the companies operating in St. Louis. The Tribune Company, which owns a television station in St. Louis, Gannett Company, both have major newspaper holdings. Belo also owns KMOV in St. Louis. All of these companies, they're very eager to get rid of this rule so they can start swapping properties with the other big media companies, allowing them to essentially create what I would call media company towns, where one company is freed up to own the newspaper, to own multiple television stations, to own up to 8 radio stations as well. All of that under one company, under one roof, giving just immense power to just a handful of players. The other main rule is related to that they want to get rid of is the one that prevents, in most places, stations from owning more than one television station. Certainly any of the big 4 television stations, you're not allowed to own more than one. They want to make that 2. And part of the reason they want to do that is because we're undergoing a technological transformation where local broadcasters, instead of just broadcasting a single channel at a time, are soon going to be able to do something called multicasting, which will allow them to actually, over that same channel, broadcast 5 simultaneous digital channels. So imagine a station now saying they want to own 2 or 3 stations. Well, in a couple of years, by 2009, they would potentially be able to have 12 or even 18 channels all coming from the same boss in a given market. And so that's what they want. What the public interest wants, I think, is the exact opposite, is to begin start talking about not how to loosen these caps even further, but how to lower them, how to create more opportunity for more people to be in the media business. I mean, we're looking at a situation where, just to cite one example, minority ownership of broadcast outlets is at something like a 15-year low, less than 4% of radio stations, less than 2% of television stations are owned by people of color. Now, this hardly seems like the direction we should be moving in, and yet the current administration won't even, those numbers are from 2000, they won't even fund the study of minority ownership because they know it's only getting worse. And yet here we are, the FCC, which is supposed to work for us, they're appointed positions, but their constituency is the public, here they are talking about letting big media get even bigger.
Well, and don't we also, Craig, have a simultaneous battle going on the internet end of this as well? While it's not related to the FCC directly, but this net neutrality issue that is going on in the internet feeds into this discussion that we're having right now, doesn't it?
Absolutely. They're very much connected. Right now, Congress is considering a massive overhaul of the telecommunications legislation.
People don't really understand this, Craig. I don't think that people really get what's getting ready, what they're trying to do to our internet.
Yeah, well, it is. It's very scary, and that's exactly what the phone and cable companies, who in this case are pushing to change the way the internet works, that's what they want. They want to keep it highly technical and confusing. But basically what's going on here is it's internet freedom. We've had the internet. It's been an incredible environment for free speech, for democratic participation, for economic innovation. And the reason that's been is because there's something in there called non-discrimination or network neutrality that ensures that all the data moving across the internet, whether it's coming from a small business, whether it's coming from a blog, whether it's coming from the biggest media company, it's all treated the same. And that the people who own the pipes, those phone and cable companies that have the wires running under the streets, that they can't discriminate. They can't discriminate based on the content of what's coming across the internet.
And
they can't discriminate based on where it comes from.
And also how much you pay.
Right. Now, they can charge you as an individual, and they will.
And
unfortunately, we don't have enough competition right now, so you're probably paying a lot to get on the internet.
And we have to take a break right now,
sure.
Craig. So hold on. We're talking to Craig Aaron, Communications Director with Free Press, joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about new FCC ownership rules and why you should be concerned. This is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
the Lone Ranger. Catch him weekdays at 5 p.m. here on WGNU.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
Enjoy free live music at the St. Louis Zoo's Jungle Boogie on Friday evenings from 5 to 7 through the end of the summer. This Friday's concert features the R&B music of Ralph Butler. Admission to the Zoo and Jungle Boogie is free. To find out more, call 314-781-0900 or visit stlzoo.org. Musical news to you from WGNU.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
You don't know how you met me. You don't know why you can't turn around and say goodbye. All you know is when I'm with you, I make you free and swim through your veins like a fish in the sea. I'm singing, follow me, everything is alright. I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. And if you want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else like me. I'm not worried.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. You won't find no one else like me. This is Liz Brown at 1-877-920-WGNU. This morning I'm talking to Craig Aaron, Communications Director with Free Press, joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about new FCC ownership rules and their impact upon us. Craig, let me get to a call or two here. Kathy, you have a question for our guest, Craig Aaron.
Yes. I wanted to ask Craig if this could be in the media and the news similar to the reform of the Glass-Steagall Act that took place back in the 30s, where companies were only allowed to be in the business or to focus on the business that they went into, like banking. They couldn't cross over and go into investment. And I understand, Craig, is this correct, that partial reform of that law was pushed or came about because friends of Alan Greenspan stepped up to the plate and said, this would be corporations or business people, that we need to reform that law, and it wasn't maybe necessarily in the best interest of the people?
All right. Thank you, Kathy.
Well, I can answer that in part. I'm not an expert on that particular law, but I do know that it did largely get repealed, and I believe it was called the Graham-Bliley Act that did get rid of a lot of that, allowing sort of which businesses banks could be in. But it is similar to what I'm talking about on the media front, because it represents this larger trend toward what these big companies, whether they're media companies or banking companies or some conglomerate of all of the above, toward what they like to call deregulation. And I would suggest to your listeners that anytime they start hearing politicians talk about deregulation, that they should be very nervous, because what deregulation tends to mean is big companies getting rules, regulations, written in their behalf. And not your special rules, special favors for big companies. That's what these media companies are seeking who dominate our public airwaves. That's what these big telephone and cable companies are trying to do with network neutrality, is get special rules in their favor so they can make more money. And unfortunately, the only way to counteract things like this is with good public policy. And our folks in Washington, unfortunately, over the last number of years have really started to lose sight of that.
And let's get back to our discussion, Craig, if we can, about this net neutrality piece, because I am frightened by the FCC changes, but I'm doubly frightened by what they're trying to do with the internet. It feels like they're both attempts by our politician or our politicians being ruled by these AT&Ts out here. to control what is said in the media. I think that everybody, that they've all been surprised about the impact of the bloggers and the impact of the internet, and it's almost like they want to shut it down before we really get ready and rolling.
Well, I think you're partially right there, because what they really want, they want just how many different ways can they make money, and the freewheeling, freely evolving internet, they would like to turn it into sort of a pay-per-view internet.
Mm.
You know, they'd like an internet that
right.
looks a lot more like cable television, where they pick the menu of channels for you to choose from,
mm.
where they make the decisions, where instead of a wide-open internet where millions of people decide what works best, which products, which services, which entertainment, which sources of information, instead they want to take that power back and try to put it in the room of telecom execs. So instead of millions of us deciding what's the best stuff on the internet, they're going to give you some pre-selected choices.
But these are the same people that are giving us the types of nightly news that we're getting. And all of that has a political impact as well. So surely the decisions are going, if they control the internet, they're going to be political decisions that go into what kind of, like my website, people may not be able to get access to my website because of the political content of that.
That's right. Well, certainly you're not going to be offered a spot in this new fast lane. That's going to be reserved for their big corporate partners. And it really changes the way the internet works. As these technologies develop, potentially any website could have the reach and impact of a television network.
That's right.
You've got the
right
information. If you've got interesting things to say, good
that's
videos,
right.
that's the great potential of the internet. If we get rid of this baseline fundamental principle of network neutrality, that will all be put at risk. And this last chance to really make an end run around the big media will be taken away, and the internet, which has been such a great environment for free speech and democratic participation,
a great equalizer. Craig, it's a great equalizer.
Absolutely.
I mean, it is really, I believe for all groups of people, it is the possibility of the future. You can have your own business. You can do anything on the internet. So where are we with regard to the regulations about that?
Well, it's starting to get interesting, I would say. The big telephone and cable companies are very powerful in Washington, and they have been spending millions and millions of dollars every week on misinformation, on confusing advertisement, on what we call AstroTurf groups, the fake grassroots groups set up here in Washington.
I like that, AstroTurf. I like that.
That's what they've been doing, and they've been able to get a lot of votes because of that. But at the same time, we've seen millions and millions of people starting to wake up to what's going on. We're part of a broad coalition of more than 700 groups that have come together at a website called SaveTheInternet.com. More than a million people have signed the petition there, sent letters to their members of Congress. This week in the Senate Commerce Committee, the House already passed a bad bill.
Right.
But in the Senate, it's starting to get interesting. There was actually a tie vote in the Senate over network neutrality, 11-11, bipartisan vote. Now, unfortunately, in Congress, in this instance, the tie does not go to the runner, and so net neutrality did not get put into this bill, but the momentum has decisively shifted with this tie, and in fact, a senator from Oregon, Ron Wyden, has said that he will put a hold on this giant piece of telecommunications legislation until it addresses this issue of network neutrality. So a big wrench has been thrown into the plans of the telephone and cable companies to just railroad this bad legislation through Congress, and so I think we're going to see that really get slowed down and hopefully get net neutrality in the legislation, or even better, maybe see no bill at all come out of the Congress this year and come back and really take a serious look at this and have a public conversation about what the future of our internet should look like. I mean, the fact is that innovation on the internet has always happened at the edges. All of the great things that brought us from Google and Amazon to the blogs, these were not created by big telephone execs. If they got their way, we'd still have rotary phones with the dial hanging on our walls. You know, we do not want these folks running our internet. We want the free and open internet that we've always had.
Tim, you have a question.
Yeah. I'd like for him to comment, if he would, on the fact that these people that are chairmen, like, for instance, at one point, General Powell's son was the head of the FCC, and these people know absolutely nothing about the working of these different organizations, and there's a cadre of people that are employed that do basically all the work, and these companies supposedly that they have oversight over are running the country. I wrote
okay.
a letter.
Okay, let him address that. The people that are head of the FCC, they're political appointments, right?
Oh, absolutely. The FCC is made up. There are three Republicans and two Democrats. Because of the president, you know, the Republicans being in power, they get the majority And they've absolutely, I mean, listen, when Michael Powell was in charge of the FCC and he last tried to change these media ownership rules, the public responded. 97% of the comments that went to the FCC about these rules said, no more big media. We do not want to change these rules. And they still voted 3-2, Republicans versus Democrats, to change the rules. And we're seeing it again. There's a new chairman. His name is Kevin Martin. He's very much a political appointee. His wife works for Dick Cheney. He's a rising star in the Republican Party, and he is doing the bidding of the big media companies and the White House on this issue. Now, the good news is that there are some folks inside the FCC, like Commissioners Michael Copps and Jonathan Adelstein, who have actually taken it upon themselves to, you know, try to slow this down, and more importantly, to actually go out and talk to real people about what they think about these media decisions. Chairman Powell, when he was in power, literally went to a single public hearing, one public hearing. It was an hour away from Washington in Richmond, Virginia. That was the only time he even would go out and talk to real people. We've been working with the commissioners, Copps and Adelstein, to do a number of public hearings around the country, and they're now pressuring Chairman Martin before they move anywhere with these new rules that they need to actually go out and sit down and listen to what real people have to say about this. And I guarantee you 90% or more will say, big media is already big enough. We want more local media. We want more independent voices. You know, I won't lie to you, it's an uphill fight. These big media companies are very powerful.
And when
like
we talk,
your caller says, they're very entrenched in Washington. But we showed in 2003 that when millions of people get organized and get involved, we can at least stop the forward push for bigger media. I think we can do it again. And then I think we can begin the conversation about, you know, starting to roll back and returning local voices to
and
the community.
And as we describe the power that these media companies have, it's not just the power to put out millions of dollars worth of misinformation or confusing the debate, but it's also the millions of dollars that they put into the coffers of our elected officials.
No question there. I mean, they give tremendous amount of money. I mean, if you combine all the media companies, the internet companies, radio, television, they give more money to Washington than the oil and gas industry does.
Wow.
So you can imagine
wow.
the kind of power that brings them in the decisions that are made.
Well, I'm here in the city, here in St. Louis, in the St. Louis area. Lacey Clay, a member of the Black Caucus, a member of the Progressive Caucus, and a black man from here in St. Louis, supported that was opposed to the net neutrality legislation. And defended his vote and said that he was doing that. This is going to give access to people, people of color, poor people, better access to the net.
You know, I just think you have to look at the record of what the phone and cable companies have already done, and that is not to roll out advanced services. They bring them to the richest areas, and they leave others behind. We are falling further and further behind the rest of the world in terms of what's available, how fast internet service is available, the cost. Are going up and up and up. I mean,
we pay more than anybody else, don't we? We pay more than other countries do.
Most certainly we do. I mean, in Japan or South Korea, that you can get for the same money you pay here 50 times the speeds of internet access, almost completely ubiquitous. And, you know, these bills that they're passing are freeing up these companies to really cherry pick certain areas. So the phone company is going to come get in the TV business. That's supposed to be the great thing from this bill, and theoretically more competition is good, but they're actually allowed to go to the nice side of town, build these services, and therefore lower the prices where there's competition. But then on the other side of town where they're not so interested in building, the existing companies, the cable companies, can actually raise the prices in the poorer communities in order to compete in the richer communities.
And that's
the kind of things we shouldn't. How do we get to that point? We should not be having that kind of conversation.
It's an absurd conversation to be having.
Absolutely.
And that's what's in the bill that was passed out of Congress, out of the House.
That's in the House bill, absolutely. And the Senate bill is not much better. So that's one of the reasons that, you know, in some ways, for the public interest, the best thing that could happen is that this bill simply will not move forward in this Congress, and that hopefully everyone will contact their representatives and let them know that they actually care about these media issues, that there's a public voice here that is different from what they're hearing from the big companies.
And, I mean, my congressman said the most astounding thing, I voted with the majority. Well, when does a Democrat in this administration brag about voting with the majority on something like this? So it would help for people to contact their legislators, right, Craig?
Yeah, absolutely. And if they go to – we have a couple websites set up to make that really easy. They'll churn out the number right for you at savetheinternet.com as well as stopbigmedia.com. Folks can go there, get lots of information, and and also a way to connect them either via email or on the phone directly to their representatives in Washington who really need to hear from them. They really need to know that voters care about these issues and that they're going to matter this November.
Craig Aaron, Communications Director with Free Press, thank you so much for joining me this week and have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks again.
All right. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back. We'll have the giveaway, the Liz Brown Because We Care giveaway in the next break. You don't want to miss it. Stay with me. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else? Where else? Where else? Where else? Are you going to get a washer, a dryer, a refrigerator, a stove? You're going to go to Sears. You're going to go to Sears. They're going to have wonderful choices for you. They're going to have high-end choices, other types of choices for you, everything that you need. Don't go to the mall. Come on. Come on into the city of St. Louis at Union and Natural Bridge. Get your shop on. It's a holiday. I know you have a, I know you maybe need a little barbecue thing going on. Get on over to Sears. My name is Liz Brown. When you get there, tell them I told you to.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Phoenix. Officials in the states that border Mexico say it looks like President Bush is going to fail to keep his promise to have 2,500 National Guard troops along the border by the end of June. As of yesterday, there were fewer than 1,000 in place in Texas, California, Arizona, and New Mexico. The president said all 50 states would be sending guardsmen, but so far only 10 have agreed to do so. The head of the National Guard in Washington, Lieutenant General Stephen Bloom, says the commitment will be met and that reports to the contrary are incorrect and ill-formed. But the individual states say the troops are not there, and over 500 of them will not be able to report for at least 6 weeks. California had been asked to send an extra 1,500 to cover a possible shortfall, but the state refused to do so, saying it was not their problem. Flooding in the Northeast and wildfires in the Southwest have caused many states to keep their National Guard troops at home to help with their own problems. And Dateline Washington. Remember the Will Smith movie of a few years ago called Enemy of the State? It dealt with domestic eavesdropping and spying. Well, it turns out that part of the movie was based on real-life policies. A high-ranking retired National Security Administration official told the producers of the film about how illegal surveillance programs were being used as training missions, so in return, his daughter got a small part in that movie. The NSA is actually allowed to listen in on domestic surveillance as part of training missions, but that data is supposed to be destroyed at the end of the training operation. This policy apparently originated around 2002 so that communications of Secretary of State Colin Powell, New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, and some other notable people could be monitored because they had gone on record being opposed to the administration's policies on Iraq and North Korea. Apparently, the information that was supposed to have been destroyed made its way to Vice President Dick Cheney's office. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
Hello, my name is Henry Wonderful. I'm running for state representative in the 71st District. On August 8, 2006, I need your support. Here's Major Harris to tell you the kind of person I am.
My name is Major Harris at Hair Commanders. As my clients came in the salon, I asked different ones about him. Some he had worked with, I think, as a teacher. They was telling me how he tried to help everyone. Then he worked, I think, as the welfare officer, so one lady had worked with him there. And they said that he always was trying to help someone. I would support him.
This ad was paid for citizens to elect Henry Wonderful, state representative.
This is Lizbeth Tanz, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air program. Join us each Friday from 1 to 2 as we explore the world of writing with local and not-so-local authors. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Sergeant Gary Wiggard. Don't touch that dial. Step away from the radio. Why? Because I'm next.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
You need to get up. You need to get to me.
We have much to talk about.
314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU.
The people, the issues affecting your life. Right here, right now, on the award-winning wake-up call.
Gotta step out on faith. I gotta show my faith. It's getting lucid for so long. Freedom is mine today. Gotta step out on faith. It's time to show my faith. Procrastination had me down. Look what I had done. Strength, courage, and wisdom.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, and I think it's time. I think it's time. I think it is time to get the barrel rolling here. Get the barrel rolling here for the Liz Brown Because We Care giveaway package. Ms. Hamilton, can we pick one here?
Okay.
We have a winner. What's our winner's name?
Our winner's name is Zeus Johnson.
Zeus Johnson. All right. Congratulations, Zeus. Congratulations. Let's do one more. Remember, we need to turn the barrel. All right, Ms. Hamilton. Our next winner is
Miss Yolanda Horn.
Okay, congratulations to Zeus and
Yolanda Horn.
Thank you very much, Miss Hamilton. And congratulations, folks. Miss Hamilton will be calling you, telling you how to get this done, how you pick up your packages. So congratulations to the winners this week. But next week, that's okay. You'll be able to try again if we didn't call your name this week. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Teachers are still out there. Teachers are still out there. Apparently, they're being given the runaround at 801. 801 said, oh, payroll, blame the treasurer. Treasurer, blame the payroll. No one knows what's going on. Teachers are supposed to get paid. I bet you Craig Williams got his check. And here's the problem. Craig Williams was directed by the school board to come up with a plan to fix the budget, a budget that they could sign. He was sent emails. He was phone called. Craig Williams hasn't gotten back to any of the teachers, and now the teachers are not getting paid because they're saying that there's confusion about the fiscal year ending today. The new one starts on July 1st. They don't get a check until July, till next week. This is ridiculous. It is ridiculous what is going on in the city of St. Louis. It's ridiculous because of the superintendent that is ill-suited, not qualified, and Craig Williams should be fired. Craig Williams should be removed from his job. He should be out of here. He has done nothing but wreak havoc on this district. And you know what? Let's just be honest. Can we be for real? Baby just didn't have the chops for this job. He just got in over his head. Baby didn't know what he was doing. Baby never been a superintendent anywhere else before in his whole life. And he got brought into this system. He got hoodwinked into this system but because he is so ill-prepared, some people respond when they're ill-prepared for a job. They respond with openness and help me with this. Craig Williams responded as bad children respond. You can't tell me what to do. I know what I'm doing. I don't need any help from you. We've all seen children like that. And that's how Craig has been responding, and our district has been suffering ever since. Craig didn't know what he was doing. He got a great gig, $300,000 for a job that you've never done before, and that's great pay. I hope you saved your money. I hope you invested well, because now it's time for you to take your little last check and get the heck up out of Dodge. Because you are not needed here, you are not capable of the job, and you must go. Teachers are standing out on the street, in the middle of the street right now, Peabody School, because they didn't get paid because of Craig Williams' screw-up. And baby don't know what he's doing. Baby need to go home, take his high-end toys that he got off our dime, and get on back to Chicago and live in the little house that you're building up there in Chicago. Okay, let's be real. Irwin, good morning.
Good morning. Just wanted to call in to talk about the net neutrality issue.
Absolutely, Irwin.
Okay, this is Kerwin.
I'm sorry, Kerwin.
No problem. In the July 3rd issue of JET, they have an article about the Rainbow Push conference.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, in this particular article, it talks about AT&T. It says a key highlight of the conference was when AT&T CEO Edward Whitaker announced a $100 million grant to provide low-income families with computers and high-speed Internet access. And then they go on to say things that are very similar to what was stated in Lacey Clay's letter regarding why he voted against net neutrality.
But you know that those people, in order to get that SBC super-fast network, first of all, they had to be in a place where it was available. And secondly, they had to be an AT&T customer to get it.
I understand that.
You know, so what kind of gift is that?
Well, that's exactly right. My sense of it was when I saw that was that this was a way of trying to make this whole issue more palatable to the people who might vote against it, such as Lacey Clay.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought folks might want to be aware
and
of that. It may be something that we want to take up with the Rainbow Push.
Okay, and this was at the Rainbow Push convention.
Right, and interestingly, the same convention where they're boycotting BP for doing things against the consumers and businesses, we're taking this money from AT&T.
And what kind of money is that for AT&T?
Well, it says that they announced a $100 million grant.
And what kind of, that's no money for them.
Oh, yeah, it's just a drop in the bucket if they can get the net neutrality overturned.
And here's the other piece of it, Kerwin. Who's monitoring that AT&T actually does this?
That's exactly right.
You know, who's monitoring? So they say they're going to do this. How do you monitor that? Is there somebody being paid to report to us on a regular basis that meant that much money has gone out? I suspect that whenever they make these kinds of grants, when there's no place, when there's no one monitoring them, they're not what they appear to be.
I agree with you.
And it is so unacceptable that we have someone like Lacey Clay saying that, number one, in that letter, I voted with the majority. What are you talking about? Who votes with the majority when George Bush is in office and brags on it?
It sounded like he was grasping for straws to try to justify taking this position.
And folks need to contact the congressman. Folks need to contact the congressman on this issue. Net neutrality is what we need. Net neutrality is where he should be, and anything less is a buyout. And it's unacceptable. Thank you, Kerwin.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Whoops. I hear my music coming up. That means it's time for me to bring this week to a close. I want to thank you all. You all are always so wonderful. Thanks for everything this week. It's been, I think, we put some good information out there this week. And next week, I just wanted to let you know that I'm not going to be here on Monday, and the station will be taking the 4th of July holiday on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, I will not be joining you, but the nice lady will be here. The nice lady will be here on Monday and on Wednesday, so you will be in good hands. Speaking of the nice lady, don't forget tomorrow at 9 a.m. at 1020 North Taylor Urban Institute. And because I always try to plan your weekends, Sunday at 10 a.m. at 1408 North Kings Highway, Minister Akbar Muhammad is going to be presenting a free lecture on how do you get free land in Africa if you are of African descent. You don't want to miss this discussion on Sunday at 10 a.m. at 1408 North Kings Highway. The number to call for more information is 367-9667. Also, Minister Muhammad is going to be talking about giving us an update on Darfur and Sudan. I'm Liz Brown. Have a great weekend. Have fun. Love your family. Love yourself, stay strong, and I will talk to you on Thursday. Take care now.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemy, the man, tyranny, poverty, disease. War itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. We
yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us,